If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Please, man, I want to smirk you like you've never been smirked before. And when you smirk, you're going to smirk my name so loud that everybody's going to go, oh, smirk. And then when it's time for me to smurf, I'm going to smurf on your smurfs. And then once you lift my smurf off your smurfs, and then next time you're going to say, oh, I want you to smurf me in the smurf. And then I'll smurf you in the smurf, and you're going to love it, baby.
Oh, it's so good. I just want some right now.
That's good stuff. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, yeah. Make it happen.
I like the balls in L.A.
I don't know what's happening.
Butt hash.
La, 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 la.
At the end of it all, I'm kind of a douchebag.
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, you know?
Maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
Hey, I got an idea.
What?
This just hit me. Why don't we rape Kevin?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Marijuana's bad.
Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Roll another one.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
Roll another one.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
Just like the other one.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
I don't have another sin.
Are
you high?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
But don't bogart that joint. Just pass it around.
Buy some pot.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. I just pass it on down.
And now.
Smoking marijuana to blow your mind is like throwing sand in a delicate machine and hoping nothing goes wrong.
Our feature presentation.
Dude. Lakers. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to be all bummed out and all cranky today, Kevin?
Absolutely.
That was unbelievable.
You watched it?
Let me tell you. My boyfriend is a Boston Celtics fan.
Oh, okay. Man.
So we turn on the game at 6, and we watch, and it is so sad for him. And I'm kind of just on the fence about the whole thing. I'm not, I mean, I like the Lakers, but, you know, I'm not into sports that much, so I'm not really cheering either way. So he just gets more and more and more disgusted. And earlier in the night, he had pointed out that he was wearing his Celtics watch, right?
He's a fan.
Stop it.
And that's why they're going to win, because he's got the watch on. And I said, fine. If they don't win this game, you have to take that watch off. That's
forever.
The deal. Mm. Yeah, exactly. So he turns off the TV in disgust at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I make him give me the
quarter,
take off the
so
watch.
Much basketball still to play at the end of the first quarter.
There is.
I don't care
they,
how much you're up.
There
it
is,
was
but
so
they.
Awful, though.
But the Celtics had like 12 points, which has to be some kind of a record.
It was just awful. Yeah. So he goes home, and before he leaves, I'm like, watch, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm driving in this morning, and I hear what happened, and I cannot believe it when. And I doubt that he turned the TV on when he got home.
Yeah.
To see
I
it,
doubt
so.
That he's actually a Boston Celtics fan, because there's no way any team that I'm a fan of do I not watch. A championship game.
Well, maybe
it's
he did not, turn it
it's
on.
It's not possible,
when he went
regardless
home,
of what the score.
Yeah, that isn't right.
But I don't know. Sometimes you just take it to heart. You know, it's just too hard.
So you stopped watching the game at some point too?
Oh yeah, I went to bed.
Yeah, once he left, you had no interest.
Yeah,
in.
Trying to figure out who screwed us up. Like at what
even,
point the game? Turned.
I don't think we had anything to
I'm
do.
I'm just
with.
Checking. I don't know.
but I'm going to mock him for being a fair weather fan now.
You should.
Well, he deserves that. But I mean, it was only two games ago that the Lakers very nearly came back from 24 points back. So clearly,
yep.
clearly it happens in you know, it happens frequently enough that you can't count any team out at
obviously
that early stage of the game.
Bean's right. If you're a fan of a team, you can be disgusted and depressed and
absolutely
angry and everything else, but you don't turn it off at the end of the first quarter.
Well, he had to go home anyway. It was my bedtime.
Oh, I see. You were kicking him out?
Yeah.
Wow,
so that was
harsh.
Part of it, but he was done.
But you did him a favor before he left, though, right?
Oh, I did him a favor earlier in the night.
Oh,
okay. All right. All right. So that was taken care
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
so
that was all done.
All right. Okay, good.
It was fine. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. So that happened.
I know.
Didn't they say that was like the biggest deficit that a team's ever come back from in the finals?
Whatever. So what?
In NBA Finals history.
Yeah, so you can't really blame him for turning it off. Because really, what
yes,
were the
you can.
Chances?
If you're a fan in the finals,
what
you
were
watch.
What the chances?
Doesn't matter.
One in a million.
The Lakers came back from a larger deficit in later in the game to San Antonio Spurs like 3 weeks ago and won the game. So, I mean.
Well, then that statistic isn't right. Oh,
well,
because it was in the
finals.
But I'm saying, you know, like Bean said, it just goes to show that happens often enough that there is that chance.
Yeah,
it's not like it's out of the ordinary.
I was so scared in the beginning. I mean, it was great, but I was
but
so
knew
worried,
they couldn't maintain
really?
That. Kind of, you can't maintain that kind of intensity
because of the time of the game that it happened. If it happened super early, you got a lot of game to go.
Oh.
And most of the time, what they do is they end up taking for granted, kind of that everything's bouncing their way. So they start taking shots, maybe that aren't the best shots they wouldn't take in other situations because they just feel like it's all going.
Yeah.
And then they start missing those, and then the other team starts coming back.
That's exactly what happened to Boston.
Yeah.
You do remember? Exactly. They just, you know, they got such a big lead. I mean, you never want to be up by 20, ever, 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 in any game ever. You want to be up by 10. That's what you want to be up
unless
by.
It's the fourth quarter. But if it's the first quarter, second quarter, man, that's scary.
I did not at one moment feel comfortable.
Me either.
I mean, there wasn't any time where I was going, oh, it's all right.
Me either.
No problems here.
Because you
well,
do,
you
because
right.
you know the team is good enough, the Celtics are good enough that they could come back, especially when the Lakers go cold, which is almost a guarantee.
Yeah.
So we need to trade Gasol first.
Did not have a good game.
And,
that's for sure.
I don't think
I would trade him, though.
Can we trade the second half Lamar Odom? Can you do that? Can you have like a guy for the first half and then give him to another team for the second half?
You can in a video game.
Okay.
I don't know about real life.
By the way, I've been paying particular attention to Phil Jackson, Kevin, because I know of your complaints.
Right.
I know how he's a little too zen for you.
Right.
A couple days ago, after they won game three, this was what Phil had to say in the postgame.
Phil, the momentum you guys gained towards the end, can you guys carry that over to game three?
No.
Okay, that was at the end of game two, right? So then last night, they're interviewing, I guess Boston had just come back. I don't remember where this was. Maybe at the end of the third quarter, Boston had made it a game again after being down by 24. Now they were within like four or six or something
end
like that.
End of the third.
And here is what Phil had to say to Michelle Tafoya in the courtside interview.
I don't know. How'd they do it?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Phil.
Back in Los Angeles, a huge third quarter run by the Celtics, and that leaves the Lakers up by two. How did Boston get back in this thing?
I don't know. How'd they do it?
You're supposed to know that, Phil. We're asking you because you're – hey, listen up. Hey, over here. You're the coach of that team that gave up all those points.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how they did it. I could have said that.
That was something, wasn't it?
That was really impressive.
Yeah,
who are those guys?
That was painful.
That was a good job, Phil.
Yeah.
He may be a little too mellow, I think is what Kevin has been saying.
I'm saying maybe a little less zen.
Maybe some coaching is
although,
what you're saying, right?
Although last night, correct me if I'm wrong, he used his timeouts.
I was shocked.
Like other coaches.
He did.
And like I was saying, for momentum reasons.
A minute into like the second quarter, I was shocked that Boston came down and got a quick six, and boom, timeout. I was blown away. I couldn't believe Phil Jackson called a timeout.
Because that's the one thing that he usually doesn't do.
That's right.
And, you know, when I speak, people listen.
There's a Michael Jordan documentary that if you watch, you realize, like Money was talking about yesterday, that although he does seem completely overly relaxed and casual during the game, he coaches like a mother effer in practice and almost is he's coaching in their off time, too. He's with the guys at the hotel talking, you know, the art of war and all the Zen Buddhist stuff and doing yoga with them. He's a
he does yoga with them?
Yeah.
He does,
really?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
huge scenes in this Michael Jordan documentary of the whole Bulls team
down
on yoga mats in the middle of the gym. And
I didn't watch this. I guess they did a piece on him last night on the history of Phil Jackson. I did not watch it. I fast-forwarded through that. It was I was worried of falling asleep.
Really? Oh, because he's too zen?
Yeah, because he's too zen. He's too zen.
Can we make practices count then?
Wow, we'd be good.
I mean, really, we'd be great. Coaches his ass off in practices.
Did you guys hear the most shocking thing that has ever come out of an announcer's mouth during last night's NBA Finals game?
Is there anybody funnier than Kevin James?
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
Nicely done, Mike.
I knew it.
When you heard it, you had to go, you have got to be kidding me.
You
this guy just said this.
I was watching it on TV.
And Mike didn't go last night.
Mike!
He was
Mike
watching
didn't go
it on
a couple
TV.
Of, a couple of games ago, too, right, Mike?
Yeah,
he missed another one, too.
I almost all the games at home the Lakers have won in the playoffs, except for one. I went to all of them except one. So
yeah.
I don't know if it had anything to do with it. Money was there with the shoes. We talked.
Yeah, I don't know. Was that the coach that said that? Who said that?
No, that was Jeff Van Gundy. Yeah,
Jeff Van Gundy, the coach. Yeah, those guys alternate making the most ridiculous statements
yes,
ever.
Yes, on purpose.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, at least at one point when the guy said that wasn't a foul, he said he was doing it just to see if the other guys in the booth were staying awake. But this guy was serious.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
Because they were just interviewed Will Smith, and then they got to talking about Will Smith movies, and then they talked about Hitch, and Kevin James was in that, and that's what he said. And by the way, let's type up a list of 1,000 names and send it over to the booth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Well, they started out by saying how good a movie Hitch was.
Right.
Which,
I never saw Hitch.
I don't know that falls into the pantheon of great movies.
It was mildly amusing.
Right, maybe.
Yeah.
But they loved it. I guess this Jeff Van Gundy loved it because he loves Kevin James.
Isn't that hilarious?
They were geeking the Hancock pretty hard, too. Like they were doing the Wall-E the game before.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, you know what the Lakers need? They need Hancock. If they had Hancock.
Hey, Will Smith, sitting courtside, don't you have a project coming up? And then they started asking him questions as if he was a Laker fan. And he's from Philadelphia, famously.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's right.
There's a lot went wrong there. So I'm going home.
Well, no,
no, you're not.
No team has ever come back from 3-1 in the finals,
but
we've got them right where we want them.
Doesn't mean it can't happen.
At least the game is here.
I mean, it's easy to beat the Celtics 3 games in a row, including 2 on the road. That's
right.
Easy.
Once here and twice there. That doesn't seem hard. So that's gonna work out well. Stupid NBA trying to make sure that Boston wins.
Yeah, it's their fault.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico. Speaking of which, we're going to talk to Bill Plasky from the LA Times about the referee scandal.
Oh, good.
And the dude who's going to jail who claims that games were fixed.
Yeah.
Hey, ordinarily I would let it go, but do me a favor, do the date because I got a good one for today.
Okay. It's Friday the 13th of Poon.
Hi, we're looking for Dick, please.
Okay.
Oh. Also on today's show, Ask a Porn Star.
Ooh.
Yes.
Our continuing series, Ask a Porn Star. On today's show, we got Jessica Drake in the studio.
I'm not familiar with her work. Mike, is she a gooder?
She's a very gooder.
She's a very gooder.
I just watched her brand new feature film.
Was that Sleeping Booty?
No, it was called The Craving.
The Craving.
Which was, I believe, AVN Film of the Year last year. And she's fantastic. Her work.
I love big, fat, juicy pickles.
Oh, there she is right there.
Yeah. So we got that coming up today. I don't know if you watch the show Weeds. It's a fantastic show.
Love Weeds.
It's on Showtime. It's about weed, oddly enough.
It's weird that Lisa loves weeds but doesn't care for weed.
Yeah, I know.
That's true.
But it's only weed.
Justin Kirk is on the program today. He plays Uncle Andy on that program.
Right.
Very funny.
He's awesome.
There's a chimpanzee that wants a star on the Walk of Fame.
Are we sure the chimp wants the star?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That has been identified.
He told us?
Yes.
Right.
If that chimp gets a star before Adam West, TV's Batman,
I will find it funny.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
Matt Money Smith talking about, you know, whatever. Movie beat because it's Friday.
Uh-huh.
Amy Winehouse has a new song you need to hear. We'll give you some highlights of that coming up in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And don't forget K-Rock's Road Trip USA stop number 2, Lincoln Park in Boston, every day at 8, noon, 4, and 8. You can win that. Everybody else wins tickets to see the local show and wins a key that could start the new 2009 VW Tiguan. Everybody that wins that. So
yeah.
Very cool. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Some shows get better as they go along. That's what I'm saying. Some shows come out of the gate strong and some shows get better because they're able to get that
out of the way. They have some stuff to take care of in the beginning.
I'm saying there's no other direction for this one to go is what I'm saying. either goes up or just stays the same. That's it.
I can't trust you when you say things are bad, though.
Mm. Yeah. He's amazing.
Because you don't like good things and you love bad things. It's how you're all upside down. How do you judge what your tastes are?
No one's harder to please yet easier to please than Kevin. That's amazing.
It's kind of true. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It either has to be really good.
I had one laugh in Zohan, so it was good. It was a good movie.
It either has to be really good or really bad. If it's in that middle of just kind of all right, then you know, what's interesting about it? And that's that show.
We were talking about Swingtown right as the record was running out. That's the show that that Kevin hates, but none of us trust him on that, so we're still going to watch it. Hey, is Kevin James in it?
Yeah.
Funniest guy ever?
If he's in it.
Kevin James. If there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
All right. Let's put a list together today and send it over to Jeff Van Gundy, shall we? Mike's going to the game on Sunday. He can deliver it to the broadcast booth.
I'm putting just one name in the list. I'm going to hand him a piece of paper that says... Everyone.
Yeah. All comedians.
Everyone's funnier than that fat bastard.
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney. Perfect example. Yeah.
Hitler. Funnier than Kevin James. Pol Pot. Funnier than Kevin James.
Rick Dees.
Rick Dees. Funnier than Kevin James.
Wow.
That is saying something.
Kim Jong-il.
Well, he's funny.
It's 5:53 on the Kevin Beat Show. Finally, Friday, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. I can't wait for the movie beat later on today, Ralph, because I have inside sources that say that maybe you saw a little movie called Get Smart last night.
I did, and that comes out next week, so we'll talk about that next week.
Oh, I'm so blown away.
Yeah, today it's The Happening and the Hulk battling it out for the number one position this weekend, so we'll talk about that when we get a chance. But first, let's take a look at some of the showbiz news, shall we? I can't get enough of this story about Dr. Drew and Tom Cruise. Can't get enough of it.
Oh, there's more?
I mentioned it yesterday that Tom Cruise, his lawyer, rather, Burt Fields, took a shot at Drew Pinsky, our good buddy Dr. Drew, because Drew was interviewed by Playboy magazine, and he said that Tom Cruise was drawn to Scientology due to some emptiness and childhood neglect. And Burt Fields went nuts, calling Dr. Drew an unqualified television performer who was looking for notoriety, spewing absurdity, compared him to Nazi propaganda director Joseph Goebbels. And
seems a little strong.
Just a touch. And Dr. Drew, being Dr. Drew, issued an apology.
What?
Yesterday, saying that he meant no harm and apologizes if his comments were hurtful. Drew's spokesperson also said, although Mr. Fields' intent clearly is to slander and discredit Dr. Drew, under no circumstances is Dr. Drew making a blanket diagnosis about Scientology, nor Mr. Cruise, whom he does not know. Dr. Drew was simply using Mr. Cruise as an example of someone who is recognizable to help the public understand. Again, Dr. Drew meant no harm. And I just think there was... Drew apologized because that's Drew, and he feels bad if he makes someone feel bad. Yeah. But he absolutely had no reason to apologize for what he said.
I agree.
Because there was a slew of people in Cruise's camp saying, how dare he? He doesn't know anything about Cruise's childhood. How does he know whether he was neglected or abused, blah, 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 blah. And I did a little research, and I came up with an interview from 2006 where Tom Cruise talks about the physical violence his father inflicted upon him.
Oh,
what?
Really?
He said, my dad was a bully and a coward, the kind of person where if something goes wrong, he kicks you. It was a great lesson in my life, how people lull you in, make you safe, and then bang. And then Cruise's mother and his father divorced shortly thereafter when he was about 10 years old, and then he didn't see his father again for a long time. So that perfectly fits in with the pattern of what Dr. Drew was talking about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the scary thing about Dr. Drew is how often he's right.
Well, the guy is not an unqualified television performer. He's a board-certified physician who is a specialist in these kind of areas.
And as you pointed out yesterday, the Scientologists want to diagnose everyone that they need exercise and vitamins, and certainly nobody needs a psychiatrist or any sort of medication for their mental problems.
Yeah, someone wrote me yesterday and said,
they don't know any
of those people. Did Tom Cruise sit down with Brooke Shields when he was diagnosing that she didn't need drugs to deal with her postpartum depression after she had
her
kid?
Great point.
Yeah.
Maybe she called him late at night.
You know, Tom Cruise goes on the Today Show and says he is able to slam psychology because he's done the research and he knows everything about it. But other people can't voice their opinions about what they think about people's state of mind.
Dr. Drew's done the research.
And nobody's done more research than Dr. Drew.
Exactly. So I just think in every possible way, Dr. Drew was right on with this. And I just feel bad that he felt pressured into apologizing. But he did it because, like I said, I think he's just a good guy and he doesn't like people to feel bad. But
That is a blatant foul.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Tila Tequila, shall we?
Hey!
Have you heard this quote from her?
I don't know. What is it?
Yeah, we have to hear it first.
Tila is claiming she is responsible for the legalization of gay marriage.
What?
Her TV show, A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, broke down boundaries and brought people together.
Are you kidding me?
It is because of me, she said, regarding the legalization of gay marriage in California. I definitely think my show helped the movement. Before it came out, everyone was still a little apprehensive about same-sex relationships. Then they realized, wow, everyone is really into this stuff, and it's fine. And the next thing you know, gay marriage is legal.
Come on, you can't be serious. She's an Oriental, for Christ's sake.
True. Now we need to put her down.
Wow, are you stupid?
That's enough from her.
I love that. That's crazy.
So she takes credit for the legalization of gay marriage in California.
Well, the Supreme Court certainly watches her show.
Oh, who doesn't? They're saying, look at that girl. That girl is eating pig vagina in order to win the heart of this other girl. Lesbian love must be special. We should legalize it and let these two pig vagina eaters be together in holy matrimony. That's what they said.
That is
good morning, vagina.
That is way crazy.
They are wrestling in jello. They must experience true love like anyone else.
F you, you effing bitch.
Speaking of true love, Adriana Lima.
Oh.
We spoke of her yesterday. She had her birthday yesterday, and I guess she celebrated by getting engaged.
What?
Oh, Mike.
Sorry, Psycho Mike.
Sorry, Mike.
Now, is she the one who claims to be a virgin?
It's one of Mike's loves.
Waiting for marriage?
Yeah, she's waiting
she
to
is.
Give it up for marriage. And
wow.
Apparently she's going to give it up to Minnesota Timberwolves star Marco Yannick.
What?
Yeah, that's who she's dating. You didn't know that?
What's his deal?
He's fugly. That's his deal.
People Magazine got a release from his publicist who said he asked her and she said yes. They're both incredibly happy and couldn't be more in love. They've been dating around 9 months and now he's going to cash in on some of that Lima action.
He's not right for her.
God bless him.
If you're Adriana Lima and you're dating someone and you're staying a virgin, you're going to get asked to get married a lot.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like second date. Okay, come on. Yeah. Let's get married. Come on.
Look, I really love you and I want to marry you. Let's get married
right
drop
now.
Your panties.
No.
Whoa, Lisa.
Wow. Lisa. Come on, we're engaged. Come on.
Give that watch back, Lisa.
I know I have to.
No, you don't.
So I'm going to Get Smart. I'm going to the screening last night. I'm driving the screening, and they're up by like 400 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I was
right.
Like, thank God I'm going to a movie tonight, or else I'd be sitting at home watching this freaking blowout.
Right. Yeah.
What a nightmare. I picked the best night in the world to go to a screening of a movie. I come out of the movie, I get in my car, it's the most amazing comeback in the history of the NBA championship. I'm like, what?
That's just not good.
How did I miss that event?
Yeah.
Then watching the freaking Rock.
Lakers! Lakers! Lakers?
Not yet. They're not dead yet.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not dead yet.
And
I'm
it
not
is.
Dead yet.
Bring out your dad. It is the Father's Day weekend, of course. Be good to your dads, folks. Top 10 Hollywood dads. List released from In Touch magazine. In Toucher loves their lists.
They do.
Here are the top 10 Hollywood dads, according to In Touch magazine.
K-Fed
not on the list.
Blissfully
not on
God.
The list. Top 10. Number 10, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Apparently a real good dad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 9, Tobey Maguire.
What?
He's surly a dad? Spidey dad.
He's a dad?
Yeah.
Infant. He's got an infant.
Emo
oh,
dad.
I didn't even know
Emo
that.
Dad. David Beckham, number 8 on the list. Ben Thanks. Affleck, number 7. Then Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler, number 5. Jack Black, number 4. Tom Cruise, number 3.
Well, he does seem to spend a lot of time with his kids. He seems very involved in his kids.
Well,
but
how do you brainwash him without spending time with him?
That's right.
I'd like to know.
It's a negative for the kids, that's for sure.
Number 2, Ryan Phillippe.
Okay.
Apparently an excellent dad. The number 1 hot dad in Hollywood, Gavin Rosdale.
Okay.
Well, he certainly seems like he gave up his career to be a dad.
That's for sure. He's got a new CD coming out, though, doesn't he?
He does. Just came out, yeah. I like that first song that I've heard. I heard it on the hills for the first time. It's really good.
Yeah, this one.
How great is male Al?
No, that is it.
That's not it.
That's Gavin.
Pretty sure that's not it. It's Galvin. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of male ass, Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy.
Oh.
Celebrates his 69th birthday. That's my favorite birthday of all.
The tiger mule or is it the other
name? No, Roy Horn was the tiger mule. Siegfried was the one who picked up the pieces. He said, now what do I do? I have no show, no partner.
I still love that they announced last year or earlier this year that they're going to perform again. They're going to do one more show. I still love that they plan on doing that.
4 years from now.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they're young
69.
And healthy.
It's going to take that long to get Roy onto the stage. Yeah. They start now. In 4 years, they'll be able to get him up on the stage. Comedian Tim Allen. Oh, you should see Omar in the other room. He's got a cake. He's wearing a little hat. He's going, woo! Is that one of those noisemakers?
Yeah. Sure.
Tim Allen's 55 years old today.
Hi, this is Tim Allen for Kevin.
Ally Sheedy.
Tim?
Ally Sheedy is 46 years old today.
Oi.
46. And it just seems like just yesterday she was the little girl in the Breakfast Club. Remember the little
shaking
surly
dandruff all over your desk?
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
Steve-O from Jackass is 34. The Olsen twins, Ashley and Mary-Kate, turned 22. And Rivers Cuomo of Weezer turns 38 years old today. Has he graduated yet from Harvard, or is he taking still one credit every 2 years?
I don't know. I have to ask the King News Network. He'll
world's
know.
Longest college student, 38 years old. I think he may have just graduated. So, happy birthday to Rivers. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys seen that video online of Tayson Day singing that song?
Of all the YouTube stars singing that song, it's the best. It's Chris Crocker, the Britney kid, is in there, and just everybody you've ever seen on YouTube is in that video.
No, I'm not talking about their video. I'm talking about Tayson Day with...
Oh, the different one. Oh, yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He's
that was funny, too.
Chocolate Rain.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Huge voice.
Yeah.
You can find that at the Internet Roundup, the link to that one. It's bizarre.
Weezer is great. Yep. I love them. And you made an offhand remark yesterday about we need to do a breakfast with them, and I don't know if you knew what you were saying, but we've never done a breakfast with Weezer. And they would be the perfect band to do that with, as long as
you know if I nobody. Knew that? What?
You don't know if I knew that?
Well, I mean, I didn't know if it was just something that was a fleeting thought, or if it's something you'd given a lot of thought to. But there's a very short list of people that we're dying to do breakfast with, and they would have to be on the list.
I agree.
And Pearl Jam too. While we're at it, by the way, while we're dreaming, how about a breakfast with Pearl Jam one day?
Okay.
All right, email, you can write to any of us. I was kind of complaining about people who put little comments at the end of their emails every time. It's their automatic signature. Maybe it's a thoughtful, slogan about the philosophy of life or something. Yeah. I was like, just stop it. We don't need that. I got this from Vic. Guys, I see your point about how annoying it might be to repeatedly see a quote at the bottom of an email. However, I think talking about it on air is likely to backfire. And then he's got a quote at the end of his, and it reads... The Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red. Kevin. And then I got one from Ryan that says, this is mine. Quote, what are you going to do, spoon me to death?
Oh, man.
Not Ralph Garman.
This one also mentions the email taglines. Dear Bean, I want you to know that I am the anti-Kevin. Let me explain. When I'm required to act or to make a decision, I just ask myself, what would Kevin do? And then I dismiss all those ideas, and it has frankly cut the time it takes me to make a decision or solve a problem by at least half, sometimes more.
If it's acceptable to you to be wrong all the time, that's fine. I can see that.
When my employer comes to me and asks, how did I come up with an answer to a problem so fast, I just smile and say, hey, it's not that hard. I've been doing this for years now, and I have to say it works pretty goddamn well. So to that end, I will also be ending all of my emails with these words. Here's his email tag that he'll put at the bottom of all of his outgoing correspondence. Are you a regular Duck fan? Do you watch all the time him? Kevin. Sincerely, Pete. Oh, P.S. Tell Kevin I mock him publicly.
Oh, really? What a surprise. He's the only one. We were talking about the bikini... coffee shops in Washington.
Oh, right.
Yes.
And how there was a parents group that was all up in arms because of it. I guess there was one of them where the girls were only wearing pasties.
Yeah.
The other one, or some of the other ones, they were wearing bikini tops like you would find at the beach.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a bunch of email on that one, and I was complaining, why are there none of those in Southern California? Try the Lounge or Green Girls in Westminster. Both bikini bars / coffee shops. Southern California's already on board, man. Make your way a little farther south. Tyler. Which is nothing compared to this email, which I got, which I need to check out. In Colombia, they have a coffee shop in which the waitresses wear nothing but whipped cream bikinis, top and bottom, and there are no pasties.
Okay.
So, do you just scoop the whipped cream off them if you need it?
So I'm going to Colombia.
How often would you need to reapply? It doesn't seem like whipped cream is the type of thing that would keep its shape for very long.
No, it does not.
That's
maybe that's
my point.
I see. I got a couple of emails here that involve some sort of nudity, too. We were having a conversation with a K-Rock listener yesterday about the number. How many people have you slept with before you started going out with me? That conversation that happens. Dear Kevin and Bean, I had a friend in college who was very religious, and she insisted on keeping her number at zero until she was married. But she said that didn't preclude her from wearing white pants, if you know what I mean. That is my kind of religion.
Wow.
So writes in Mike from East Lansing, Michigan, by the way. Here's another one that involves some nudity. We were talking about naked pictures that get into the wrong hands.
Right.
Travis writes in, as a senior in high school, I sent a fully nude and aroused picture to a girl that I was dating on the phone. She ended up losing her phone. The phone was found by our teacher. All right,
yes.
Now follow this chain of events. The teacher went through the phone trying to find out who it was and came across the pictures of me naked. She confronted me about them. Oh, by the way, after high school, we actually had sex a few times. The kicker is she let me take pictures and video. I guess she didn't learn. How fantastic is that?
That's the best story ever. I doubt it for that reason, but that's the best story ever.
He must have been impressive.
Talking about Bean's blog, and especially this week, we focused on the people who comment, the people who read Bean's blog, bad enough.
Yes.
Then have thoughts and think, I need to share my thoughts. So they comment on what Bean has written. Now, Bean did a story on Mr. Rogers. And how he, because Bean is obsessed with Mr. Rogers. Even
and
though he's,
numbers, by the way.
Yeah, numbers, right, yeah. Exactly. Mr. Rogers kept his weight at 143 pounds specifically for like 30 years because he thought 143 meant love because I is one letter and love is four letters and you is three letters. So 143, that's why he kept his weight right there.
That's now, how Mr. Rogers rolled.
Right, now that, to me, I want to punch someone in the face when I hear that.
Yeah.
So I was making fun of Sunny Days, a K-Rock listener, who wrote back and said, I'll never be as good as Mr. Rogers, 143 Bean. On Tuesday, during the Bean's blog segment, insert catchy theme music here, you mocked me mercilessly while Lisa said she hated me. And what's worse, Bean agreed. I could be offended. However, I'm going to try and embody the spirit of Mr. Rogers and take the high road. 143, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa.
Wow.
Proud listener, Sunny Days.
Sunny is better than me.
Sunny needs to die.
No.
She needs to die.
I don't know that she needs to die. And, she's being nice.
She needs to rot before she dies. That's
she
what
was
she
just,
needs to happen.
All she was doing was being nice, though.
Death.
Are there things that make you angry?
Yes,
sure. Sure, everyone gets angry sometimes.
Sunny
the important
day.
Thing to remember is that there are many things we can do.
All right.
When we're feeling angry,
tell
or
people,
sad,
tell
or happy. Many things that don't hurt ourselves
exactly.
Or anybody else.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
That's a bummer.
All right, thanks.
Sorry to say, Kevin, he's back. Spencer Pratt from TV's The Hills has joined us in the studio.
What
hey, Spencer.
What is up? What is up? It's so good to be back with my buds.
We're gonna
What's
let,
up, Chief?
We're going to let you, the K-Rock listeners, have your shot to ask Spencer a question, as he has great advice usually on pretty much every topic.
Got that right, Catherine.
It's Kevin, actually. Although, speaking of advice calls, I wonder if we ought to have the listeners call in with money questions, because I read something about you and your girlfriend Heidi this week. That between the two of you, you guys have made more than $3 million in the past 2 years. you and Heidi.
Yeah, bling, bling.
That's unbelievable.
That's
no
right.
No way.
Spence dog balling and shot calling. Recognize, Chief.
There is no God. That's the final word.
No kidding. How did you make that kind of money?
Pimping ain't easy, bitch, but it's necessary. That's right.
But then how did you make that kind of money?
Good question.
Wait a second. Are you questioning me?
I did ask you a question,
$3 million?
$3 million. That's just like, that's just my pocket change, too. You don't even know about the money and keep it in the offshore account, Chief.
You have offshore accounts?
Shh, don't want to talk about it on the air.
Do you have like a money manager
you brought it
or
up.
Something?
Do I need a manager?
I'm asking if you have like somebody that manages your money.
No. Yeah, I do. His name's Spencer Pratt.
You do it yourself?
That's right. Financial genius.
So if our listeners called in and they had questions with advice that was needed about money, it sounds like you think you're the kind of guy who could tell them what they should do with it, how they should handle their financial situations.
You know what they say.
What do they what? Say, Spencer?
The best things in life are free, but that's bunk.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
The whole thing? But that's bunk, or was that you adding to it? I'm
listen,
confused.
Do you want to take calls, Kendall, or not?
They say the number one problem in couples is money, fighting over money. How do you and Heidi do it?
How is it that you don't fight over money?
No, it's simple. At the beginning of the month, we sit down, you know, Heidi and I, mm-hmm. and we allot certain money, you know, a certain amount of our finances to the important things, okay? Mm-hmm. Breast augmentation.
Okay.
Denim.
Every month?
Breast augmentation, denim.
Denim.
Other random cosmetic surgeries.
Okay.
Denim accessories.
Okay. All right.
Hair.
Uh-huh. Hair. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you have anything left? I mean, you must be a whiz with money.
I am. Dude, listen to me. Hey, dude, did you make $3 million in the last couple of years?
No.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you have money problems, apparently our guest Spencer Pratt is going to be able to give you advice.
And I have a question about how you made this money, too. I know that she has a clothing line, yeah. but it's horrible. No one has ever paid for it. I know that. What about the club appearances? What does Spidey do when they get paid big, big bucks, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars to show up at a club appearance?
We invest it properly. What we do is we immediately cash a check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we go up to the top balcony of whatever club we're at, place that cash next to the neck and chin, and then make it rain.
You just throw it out?
Like this. You're my hands.
That's investing?
You're my hands.
Yeah, you're.
That's how I make it rain.
You're making it rain.
Yeah, but people love that, especially poor, disgusting people beneath us. It's like an analogy of life. Those people are actually beneath us because we're on a balcony.
Okay.
But literally, they're beneath us.
All right. Before we go to the call, Spencer, I have to ask one more thing about the way you want to spend your money
here. Go ahead, Brenda. Go ahead, Brenda.
It's Bean. It's actually Bean. Heidi, your whore girlfriend, has told MTV that you guys are talking about getting married and that you want to turn it into a TV special, an MTV special, right?
We want to keep it intimate, but, you know, clearly there's no reason to do anything if it's not on television. You know what I'm saying, Captain?
How do you?
That is your motto.
Intimate.
Lisa's just trying to ask you a question.
Linda? Linda.
Lisa.
Linda, I'll ask it. Linda, I'll ask it.
First off, no, hold on.
All right.
First off, I have a big problem with your top today, okay? I'm getting only 2 inches of cleavage. I demand 3.5 inches, if not a nip slip, if I'm going to come back in this studio. Secondly, do not open your mouth unless you're spoken to.
Right, you're speaking to me right now,
good
you
point,
idiot.
Bitch.
How do you keep it intimate if you put it on MTV, I believe was the question.
What, you know what I'm saying? Maybe 4 or 5 million viewers. Something real small.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Something clean.
But you ready to take some questions? You ready to
Let's do this, right. Chief.
What's going on with you and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to her.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just me.
Spencer!
The Finance
Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
It's just so stupid.
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
That's hard to say really fast.
The finance suspense?
I believe the word is finance.
Finance, okay. Yes. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Melanie is in Glendale. She's on line one. Melanie, you're on with Spencer, who apparently is some sort of money expert. Go ahead.
Hi, Spencer.
How you doing, Melanie?
I have way more money than my significant other, and I like to spend a lot of it, but he doesn't, and I feel bad. What should I do?
How much do you weigh?
No, she said, no, she's asking about money.
She's talking about
She has money. Okay,
she has more money than her boyfriend.
Is invest in the new Spencer Pratt diet program for females only.
She's not fat. She didn't say anything about her weight. She's talking about money.
I can hear it in her voice. 17 calories is what I call the beauty digit.
17?
Yeah, stick to that a day.
17 calories a day. You get that in water, don't you?
Mostly boogers and stomach acid. Oh. That's what we like to try to make. what I want you to look like is one of those dogs that got rescued out of Katrina with your ribs popping out your skin. And then
hey,
go
Spencer?
Ahead and take whatever money you have left over. Okay. Get some Bolt-Ons. We're looking double D's for a girl like you who's fat and hefty.
She's not at all fat. She's not. She's just asking about she has all the money. Her boyfriend doesn't. She feels bad. What should she do?
Maybe if you have any money left over, buy a bottle of Cristal and give it to him. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Next call.
All right.
Seems like it was not answered, but let's move on.
Cynthia is in Redondo. She's on line two. Hey, Cynthia, you're on with Spencer Pratt. The phone is the Spencer.
Spencer, you douche. how do I win the lottery?
How does she win the lottery?
Yeah. Let's see. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 50.
Kill yourself. Thank you. Next call.
What? That's how you win the lottery?
I'm sorry. It's irrelevant because she's a female.
All right.
And she sounds like one of Marge Simpson's sisters with that voice.
Come on.
She might as well be 150 years old. You're in a wheelchair. She's on a she's on a feeding tube. She's in a wheelchair.
What are you
How much do I weigh?
How do you know all that?
Because she said, what did you say, 50 what?
How much do 50? I weigh?
I'm sorry, I'm going to be sick.
all right, never mind.
Spencer! The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Spencer!
The Finance Spencer!
Kiguan, your chance to win that coming up. And don't forget, all weekend long here on Coldplay, we're going to be giving away tickets to their sold-out forum shows and also send you to the Pemberton Festival, which is held in Vancouver, B.C., to see Coldplay and I think Nine Inch Nails, Death Cab for Cutie, Jay-Z, a bunch of other bands on the bill. So details coming very soon on that here on the World Famous K-Rock.
Are you aware that
all weekend right here on Coldplay?
Are you aware that you said right here all weekend on Coldplay?
I'm not aware of that, but thank you.
Sorry.
Although that's pretty accurate on Monday as Coldplay takes over the radio station. So they may change the name.
World
I don't know.
World Famous Coldplay.
Nicely
exactly.
Done.
That's still a terrible band name, right?
Coldplay.
I mean, we're used to it now, but it's pretty dumb.
I think once you get used to it, it just you don't ever.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is sort of meaningless, though, when you think about it. I never really thought about their name before, but Coldplay. What the hell does that even mean?
You like to play when it's cold. What do you think?
I don't think it means that.
I hope that's not it.
I will bet you $1 million that's not what that
means.
Time for the Ralph Chris, why'd you call the band that? We like to play when it's cold. Wow, Kevin was right. I had no idea.
See?
Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Before I get to the latest showbiz news, I want to give you a heads up that this weekend is the opening weekend of something that is very near and dear to my heart. Because I've got some history with the Bradys. You know, I played Peter Brady.
Right.
The national touring company of the Real Live Brady Bunch.
Right.
Well, they are debuting this weekend a very Brady musical.
Really?
Didn't they do this already, like,
the
years
newest
ago?
Version of the Brady Bunch stage show. Well, the one you guys were in.
We ruined.
But that was also the one I did, which was a spoof on the Brady Bunch by doing actual episodes of the Brady Bunch live on stage.
Right.
With adult actors playing the kids.
Right.
That was the Real Life Brady Bunch.
Okay.
This is a musical, an actual musical written about the Bradys, but done in the same sort of parody style, called A Very Brady Musical, written by Lloyd Schwartz, who is the son of Sherwood Schwartz, the creator of the Brady Bunch. It opens this weekend at Theater West, which is on Cahuenga Boulevard West, right there near Studio City, actually. My home, Studio City.
How about that?
It opens this weekend for the next six weekends. If you're a Brady's fan, this is apparently a very funny take on the Brady's, including the theme of the show basically is Mike and Carol trying to have sex, but they can't because they have too many kids in the house. So if you want to check it out, it opens this weekend, as I mentioned, Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m., and Sunday they've got a matinee at 2. AveryBradyMusical.com is where you can go for more information and tell you how to buy tickets and stuff like that.
But cool.
I'm going to check that out because I think the Brady's are funny. And
definitely.
Apparently, some of the Brady's can walk tight ropes.
Is that right?
I had no idea until this week when I saw Peter...
Celebrity Circus.
Carrying a broad on his shoulders on a high wire.
Blindfolded.
Pretty strong.
Got low marks because he didn't smile.
Yeah, I know. I thought you would smile more. I want to see you more smiling.
That's one of the judges.
I wish I had a chance to talk to Spencer when you guys had him in.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he's gone now.
Is he already gone?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Because there are some stories in the news about Spencer and Heidi. Apparently, the couple is in talks with MTV to televise their wedding.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They want MTV to televise their upcoming nuptials and the reception. And they've told MTV they'd like to have Wolfgang Puck do the catering. They'd like to have custom watches by Jason of Beverly Hills be the party favors for everyone who attends. They'd like the location of the wedding to be on Sir Richard Branson's Necker Island in the Caribbean, his private island. This is their demands of what they'd like from MTV. And to play at the reception, they would like U2 to perform.
U2?
Yes.
To play at the reception.
That's who they want their wedding band to be.
What a douche.
Well, shoot high, Heidi and Spencer. Here's my predictions.
Wow.
The catering will be done by Boston Market. The party favors will be, I don't know, small little bindles of blow. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay, all right.
If they can get a deal.
That's rad.
Yeah.
They get a sponsor.
The location will probably be somebody's backyard.
Okay.
Maybe Kevin's. And the wedding band will be Sam and Death Clown or whatever whatever Armenian comedian band he's rocking.
I'm in now.
That's my suggestions, but we'll have to wait and see. Sarah Larson is healing from a breakup from George Clooney, like any self-respecting woman would. She is debating whether or not to strip down for Playboy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do it.
Apparently, she has been approached by the magazine to show off her new body, which allegedly has been the recipient of a recent breast augmentation.
Giant-sized cans.
A lot of chatter about whether that's true or not. What are your sources telling you, Ralph?
That it is true.
She got them.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see whether she accepts the offer or not.
One of the magazines suggested that that led to the breakup. That was part of the problem there, is that George didn't want her to get him.
Yeah, it's true. This is sad news. You guys know Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yeah, sure.
Played the brother on that show. Apparently, he is looking for love. And he's going to do it, of course.
On TV?
Oh, no.
Not even on a TV show. And an online reality series.
He has a TV series.
He has a
what
TV
does he
show,
need
yeah.
To do
he
that?
Is the star of Till Death, but he will be doing an online reality show, a 10-episode reality series online, which will feature him going on dates with a different woman on each episode.
I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
And he's having his ex-wife and his urologist choose the women that he dates.
Are you kidding?
But if your show idea isn't good enough to get on the air as a reality TV show, we've all seen how low those standards are, then you should just give it up. Don't bother doing it on the internet.
No, it doesn't exist unless someone's filming it.
At what point do you go, the urologist gets to make a pick?
My ex-wife gets to pick. Whatever with the urologist. At least that man is, you know, familiar with my junk. Maybe he's got something to say. My ex-wife, I don't want to hear from what she has to choose for me.
They didn't split up all that long ago, either.
No.
Long enough ago that he should be dating, though.
No, not that. Just that I can't believe that she would be.
Well, apparently it's a real amicable split the two of them have.
Wow.
So she's playing along. If you're interested, Lisa.
No.
You can submit your application at Crackle.com. That's who will be covering and carrying the online reality series, Crackle.com.
Oh, dude, lame.
The super popular, heavily trafficked Crackle.com will be featuring the Brad Garrett online reality dating series. And then he'll be doing another show on Crackle.com saying, I should just kill myself.com.
Well, if he's on Crackle, he should have plenty of women to choose from.
You got a TV series, you're a popular stand-up comedian and actor. Why do you got to go on a reality show?
It is baffling. I don't understand.
He must be just doing it just to do it or something.
Here's a little news flash. It's not funny. Yeah.
And I'm very excited. I know Kevin is too. Drake and Josh are going to be back.
Yeah.
Is this a Disney show?
Yeah.
It's Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
Drake and Josh, of course. Drake Bell and Josh Peck were made big stars on Nickelodeon.
Of course.
They're coming back together again for a TV movie in December, Lisa.
What's it called, Ralph?
Jake and Josh's Best Christmas Ever. Oh. We'll have the pair working as a mall Santa and his helper. Oh, come on, Drake
How old
and Josh.
Are they?
They're 40. Each of them. 40 and 41, respectively. Daily Variety says it'll be airing in December, so everyone
can. No, a thousand times no.
See, you let us know how that
kids
is, Kevin.
Get back together again.
Could you be any gayer?
I say Kevin because your kids are big
yeah.
fans, right? Don't they love
I'll watch
Drake
it.
And Josh?
I'm sure I will.
And two members of Stone Temple Pilots are being sued by Atlantic Records. Scott Weiland and Eric Kretz, the drummer of the band, have threatened to break their contract with the label unless there's some major changes to it. Apparently, when the group split up in 2002, they had made 6 albums for Atlantic, but the contract called for 9.
Mm.
The following year, when Dean DeLeo and Robert were released from their contract from Atlantic because the band broke up. But now that the band is back together again, Atlantic Records wants their missing albums.
Oh, and they're saying, hey, we're back together, we want to negotiate a new contract.
And they're saying, no, Stone Temple Pilots, business as usual, you guys still owe us 3 records. So, a lot of discrepancy regarding STP these days. But hopefully they'll work it all out, because if they don't, it could be a while till we hear a record, because sometimes that can gum up the works.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen are 22 years old today. Ethan Embry, very talented actor from That Thing You Do and Can't Hardly Wait. He is 30. Steve-O from Jackass turns 34. Rivers Cuomo who, of course, was the popular governor of New York for many years and also singer-guitarist for Weezer.
He was not,
I'm not sure they're the same. I think you're thinking of two different people, Ralph.
Yeah, like there's two guys with last name Cuomo.
Well, that's a good point.
Rivers is 38 years old today. Tim Allen from Home Improvement is 55. And Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy.
Could you be any gayer?
Oh, I bet they could if they tried.
I don't know.
I bet he will at his birthday party tonight. He is 69 years old today.
69.
Oh, has there ever been a birthday more tailor-made for Siegfried than his 69th? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lakers. Seriously. Seriously.
And Paul Pierce starting to celebrate as his team will go up 3-1. And as we mentioned, no team in NBA Finals history has ever come back from being down 3-1 to win the championship. And this crowd so disappointed in a game that started great for L.A. The Celtics turn in one of the great comebacks in NBA playoff history. Down 24 in the second quarter, down 20 in the third. They come back and win game four.
Former sports guy Matt Money Smith on the phone, of course, now with the Laker radio broadcast team. Money, what happened?
So
that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Wow.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, it was one of those games where, you know, you come home and you just kind of sit on the couch.
Yeah.
Dazed.
The TV's not on. You know, the
yeah.
There's no radio on. You're just kind of sitting on the couch going, wow, really?
Yeah. It takes a while to get your head around it. It's just depressing.
Listen to this, Money. Lisa May's banging some guy who's a Celtics fan, and he was so frustrated and so disgusted after the first quarter last night that he turned the game off and didn't go back.
I can understand that. I mean,
it hurt his heart.
Throttling them.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, though, well, it's not funny, but I said on the show yesterday, I said, look, people keep asking me what do you think's going to happen, and I keep telling them I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know in this series. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and yesterday's another perfect example of that. The Lakers offense looks like the Lakers offense, and then some in the first quarter, and then completely disappears the rest of the game. I think it was, 35 points in the first quarter, and 48 the rest of the game? I mean, figure that out.
Did you have the uneasy feeling like I did that it's going too well, and just from experience, you kind of know it can't go that well for a whole game, and I sure wish it was third and fourth quarters and not first.
Well, I'll tell you, anyone that's ever hooked up with a transvestite hooker knows that feeling.
That's
wow,
true.
She's too easy.
That's a good point.
Right? I mean, man, is she hot. She really likes me. It had that feeling. And you know what? Phil Jackson has addressed that before. He said sometimes there are leads that are too big.
Yeah.
And you do everything you possibly can as a coach to tell your team not to back off and to not change the way that they're playing. And you know, don't try to extend the game. Just keep doing what got you there. And he said it's just inevitable.
Yeah.
Players just end up taking their foot off the gas.
Speaking of Coach Jackson, here he is being interviewed sidelines right at the end of the third quarter when Boston was already starting to come back. And I don't know, maybe I should have had more confidence in his plan for the fourth quarter, but it shook me a little bit when I heard this.
Back in Los Angeles, a huge third quarter run by the Celtics, and that leaves the Lakers up by two. How did Boston get back in this thing?
I don't know. How'd they do it?
I mean, that made me a little bit nervous, Matt.
Again, I know he's one of the greatest coaches of all time, but I could have given that answer.
Phil, you know what? Phil hates that interview.
I know.
He hates that commitment, which is why. And if you look at him, he and Popovich, those are the two guys that typically give those kind of answers.
I do, too. I really despise the during-the-game interview.
Not cool.
Even halftime. It just bugs me that they're – I don't know. It just bugs me.
Yeah, I agree. And I know Phil really doesn't like it.
But so then he said. But then she said, she followed up, and he said, well, it'll go better.
Yeah, no, it won't. I don't know if you notice it, if you can see it on TV versus at the game. The Celtics, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Doc, their head coach, but they got this defensive dude who runs the defense. His name's Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, I don't know anything about him.
And if you ever watch when the Celtics are on defense in front of their bench, he's the little bald white guy with the folder who is just screaming at them the entire time they're on defense.
God damn it, Paul Tolliver! Rotate Posey, you damn son of a bitch!
He's freaking out every defensive possession, and they play unreal D. And
yeah, they
do. Doing it the entire, from the end of the first quarter on, that dude was freaking out.
All right, let me ask you this question, Money. When the Celtics finally start to play defense and they say, this is not going to go this way, why do the Lakers seem to be powerless? Why can Pau Gasol kind of not get through that or figure it out? And why does Lamar Odom stop being aggressive? How come that happens?
You know, I mean, here's what I think happened last night. The strange thing about last night is the Lakers were 24 points in the second quarter, right?
Right.
You look at the box score, and what's the one thing that stands out? Kobe Bryant's 0-for-4.
That and Lamar Odom has a lot of points,
right.
Both.
But, I mean, the Lakers are up 24. Kobe has 0
right.
field goals. So
right.
I think what happened was they knew that Kobe was going to look to get on track, that he was going to have to, or that lead was going to disappear. And I think the Lakers knew that. The Celtics knew that. They both had to scheme for it. And the Celtics did a better job of saying, we know we're going to be getting about 15 to 20 shots from Kobe, and we got to make sure that we don't allow him to get anybody else involved as he tries to get going. And
right,
I think
right,
that's what happened.
Right. Stop his assists, right.
Yeah, they were throwing two and three guys at him, and then when he was trying to move the ball, he just couldn't. And that's just, you know what it is? It's 2004 all over again. You know, you going into the series, we said, well, the Lakers are the better team. They played in the better conference. This should be a walk in the park. And then you got through that first game, and you're like, well, that was kind of weird.
Right.
It was slow, and it was muddy, and I could see that the Lakers could have won and maybe should have won had they closed out better. You know, and I think that's what's happened this entire series. You look at every single game, and you can say, yeah, you know, the Lakers should have won that game or could have won that game. Well, they shouldn't have. I shouldn't say should, but they could have won
right.
that game if you take out this 5-minute segment. And it's very reminiscent of the Detroit Pistons in 2004 and everyone in L.A. just going, what the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, really, Detroit?
Yeah.
I think that's the same thing.
Now, they've made a lot out of this, and we're kind of running out of time here, Money, but they have said already 7,000 times that no team has ever come back from 3-1 in the finals.
Right. Well, I mean, the Lakers did make 7 3-pointers in one quarter, and that's an NBA record.
Okay,
so,
good.
You know, they're making some history there.
So they got to play one game here on Sunday.
One game here on Sunday.
And then at least they have the last two in Boston.
It is a Herculean task, to say the least. This team has beaten them 5 out of 6 times. And the one game the Lakers won, I told you guys after that game, nobody should have won that game.
Right.
So,
they should have come to draw.
So I tried to figure that out. And by the way, they passed out Laker flags last night to everybody that came.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You know, I know.
20,000 Laker flags.
I know. Well, hey, did you say flags?
Flags.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Didn't sound
Money,
like it.
Do you leave for, assuming the Lakers win Sunday, do you leave for Boston on Monday morning?
Yeah.
How about that? You're heading back. You sound excited. You'll be going cross-country again.
Yeah. If you want to put that positive on it, you know, if you want to be optimistic, hey, you know, the Lakers would have an opportunity to not only tear the heart out of the Celtics, but disembowel them, and while they're disemboweling them, having sex with their wives. That's what this comeback would be like
to
the Celtics. So, I mean, maybe, in fact, there is something to it if they can put it together. And look, they're a good enough team to do it. I truly believe that. There's just something with this damn team that they cannot figure out.
Gotcha. All right. Well, it's always very insightful to have you on before and after the games. And, of course, you can hear Money before and during and after all the games on AM 570. Matt Money Smith, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, dude.
Oh, great time.
Dude, Lakers, seriously.
Ask a Porn Star coming up next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, by the way. Let's not forget about that. So if you find yourself like thinking about punching out when we're talking to a chimp in about 10 minutes, I just want to remind you that we're coming back strong in the 8 o'clock hour, okay?
We should ask a Porn Star chimp.
Oh, now we're talking.
That'd be great. We combine the two.
Good. Friday morning on the Kevin Bean Show, and Friday means Ralph's here with the Movie Beat.
In a world someone has been watching, one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Two girls, one banana.
Oh,
yeah.
Chimp porn, you know?
Yeah. I mean, no.
Let's talk about the movies coming out this weekend, shall we? It all boils down to two, really. It's just a battle between The Happening and The Incredible Hulk. Two movies that I'm going. Great misgivings about, but if I'm going to have to see one of them, it's going to be The Incredible Hulk.
Of course.
Incredible Hulk is a character from Marvel Comics you may be familiar with. I guess it's about 40 years old, maybe 50. I think it was in the early 60s when this character was first created by the lovable Stan Lee, the genius behind many Marvel Comics superhero characters. It was, of course, made popular in the TV series The Incredible Hulk, starring Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. Mm-hmm. How's Lou Ferrigno sound again, Lisa?
You know how he sounds.
That's true. It's very accurate.
And here.
Then they tried to do it a couple of years ago in the big screen version with Ang Lee, who made it introspective psychological drama.
How
good
was that?
Move with a comic book movie, Ang.
A lot of people were surprised when they heard that the new Incredible Hulk movie was coming out, because it's rare for Hollywood to go back to a failed project, especially so quickly after it failed. Right, Ralph?
Yes, but in this particular case, they knew they had a marketable product, because the Incredible Hulk has been a popular character for, as I mentioned, almost 50 years. So it was obviously they just screwed it up. So they called that one a mulligan, and they went back to the drawing board and came up with the new version. With a lot of input by Ed Norton, the star of the film, who plays Dr. Bruce Banner, who's
always great, by the way.
He's always great. He's had a lot to do with the script in terms of this one, too.
Really?
He had a lot of input in terms of rewriting the script for this film. Liv Tyler plays his lovely girlfriend. Tim Roth is the bad guy in this. I mean, it's getting now with comic book movies, you're getting better and better caliber of actors.
You know?
Used to be we couldn't get actors like Tim Roth to be in a big comic book movie, but he is in it. And I think, really, I've got high hopes for this film, everything except from what I've seen of the special effects of the Hulk in the trailers in the movie. They still haven't conquered that hurdle of making it look like a cartoon or a video game. That computer-generated stuff just still smacks fake to me. And my fear was, as it was in the first film, it's just going to pull me right out of the experience. I'm going to get all caught up in the story, and then he's going to show up, and I'm going to like, well, that's not real. I can't really invest myself emotionally in that character.
You want to, though.
I do, desperately. Here's a scene from The Incredible Hulk featuring Tim Roth, who becomes a creature eventually known as the Abominator, versus the Hulk.
That's my porn name, by the way.
Who, of course, is Ed Norton, who gets angry. And you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
I hear that's true.
Monsky, now you're up!
Cover me.
Move him toward the cannons!
That says summer, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yes, it does.
It's hard to find a clip of dialogue from The Incredible Hulk to play, because most of the movie is just that. But that's what you want in a big comic book action thriller. And you'll be pleased to see Robert Downey Jr. reprising his role as Tony Stark, making a small appearance in this film as well. So you got that going for you, too.
I think I
got
to go because of Ed Norton.
Absolutely.
He's so good.
Hope it doesn't disappoint.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you know that Adam Sandler didn't have anything to do with this one, right, Kevin? You're still going to go?
After last weekend, yes, I'm glad that's true.
And The Incredible Hulk will be squaring off against The Happening this weekend at the box office. The Happening, of course, the latest film from M. Night Shyamalan, who was just a big douchebag.
I'm still intrigued potentially by this. I really am. I still think it could be good.
I want M. Night Shyamalan to be a big, successful director. He's a Philadelphia boy. You know, I'm a homer when it comes to guys from Philly.
Right.
But I think he's a hack who got incredibly lucky the first time out with The Sixth Sense. He had one good film in him, and he is just... It's been the law of diminishing returns ever since with this guy. They've been getting worse and worse and worse. Each of his successive films have been
mostly agree with you
in quality. And I think this is the latest and greatest, and it's just a big pile of poop.
I hope not.
Marky Mark stars in this film. Mark Wahlberg stars as a man who is in a troubled relationship with his wife, and they come together when they have to battle a strange, dark event that's happening all over the world, where people are starting to commit suicide and take themselves out of the game. And we don't know why, but I wonder if there'll be a shocking ending in this film or not.
Hope so.
M. Night Shyamalan, please. He is
my girlfriend Zooey Deschanel is in this one, though, and I love her so much.
She plays Marky's wife in this film. Here's the thing that bugs me about M. Night Shyamalan. He is like the nerdy... theater kid in high school who just thinks he knows it all. And he's just so full of himself. And his early success did nothing but to fan that flame. And now he's just out of control. Let me read you a quick quote from an interview recently about The Happening that M. Night said. Regarding The Happening, he thinks it's going to be so good that people might not even realize how good it is. That's his fear.
That's our fear with this show as well.
If something happens during the movie and you think that's dumb, it'll be because whatever happened was actually too amazing for you to fully understand, or possibly a metaphor for something really crazy and cool.
So if you don't like
this movie, it's your fault.
It's me. It's not him.
He's got to be kidding.
Here's a clip. Well, you tell me. Here's a clip of an interview with M. Night talking about the film and how just amazing he is and how amazing it is.
There's a lot of taboo in the movie, which really is a very scary moment to see things that you go, I'm not going to see this, am I? And then you see it, and you're just shocked. Your mouth is hanging open. And when we screened it for the first time, people came out and they were so shaken. They just stood outside and like holding their arms and stuff. And I was like, this is good. I hope you don't get too scared.
Yeah, it might be too scary for you, man.
Oh, no.
Because people are outside the theater holding themselves in their arms, shaking after the screening. F you.
He's a dish.
F you.
That's what I felt like after the Lakers game last night, by the way.
Yeah.
Rocking back and forth. Yeah, that does not sound promising.
Here's a scene from the movie where Mark Wahlberg discovers they're starting to lose contact with the rest of humanity. It says people are starting to fall off the grid, and he's on a train, and they've stopped this train because they've lost contact with the people on the other end of where they were going.
Right. Okay.
And listen to not only the horrible dialogue, and I think M. Shyamalan writes some of the worst dialogue in movies today, but listen to Marky Mark Wahlberg's performance as he tries to wrap his mouth around this dialogue.
What?
Because that's what's happening? Is that what is the theme for what's happening?
See, because...
Wow.
Uh-huh.
What's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Did that happen
really
on purpose?
The happening.
Was that a happening?
That was his comedy.
Okay.
Train service has been discontinued. This will be the last stop for all passengers.
Well, hey, what do you mean? Where are we?
Filbert, Pennsylvania.
Filbert? Does anybody know where that is? But why are you giving me one useless piece of information at a time? What's going on?
Oh.
Hey, why would you just stop? You can't just leave us here.
Sir.
What?
We lost contact.
With whom?
Everyone.
Ah, it's too scary. I'm holding myself outside the theater. I'm shaking with fear. It's too taboo and amazing and cool.
Oh, no.
You said Mark Wahlberg. You meant Keanu Reeves.
That was Keanu Reeves in that clip. It had to be.
Why are you giving me one piece of useless information at a time? Where are we? Who has heard of this place?
That was a joke.
It does sound pretty awful.
That clip was a joke.
It was the real deal, Neil.
Oh, no. Kevin's What's Happening clip was better.
What are you doing?
But you cannot just stop the train like this and leave us here in Filbert, Pennsylvania. Where is that? I have not even heard of Filbert, Pennsylvania. This is crazy. What is happening? Is there some happening?
Oh,
what is
no.
happening that all the happenings are causing this happening to happen?
Oh, no.
F this movie.
It's too deep for you, man.
F it. That's right.
You just don't get it, man. You just don't know.
F it right in the A.
Too deep for you.
You don't know, man.
You just don't know.
It's too cool and crazy, man. You don't get the metaphor.
You're going to rock back and forth outside.
You're shaking and holding yourself when this movie's over. That's right. I'm going to be going, oh, God, I just paid $10 to see that film. Oh, God. Oh, I'm afraid.
I don't think you guys know, man.
It's 2 hours of my life. I'll never get back. Help me, Mommy. Incredible Hulk's my pick this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman movie beat.
Here's the first sentence of this story. It's one of the greatest injustices ever perpetrated in Hollywood. Cheetah the Chimp is not on the Walk of Fame.
What?
Well, it's hard out here for a chimp. You know this? That, Kevin. Come on.
Dear God. This is a 76-year-old... chimp that was that starred in Tarzan, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And people are very upset that he does not have a star on the Walk of Fame.
He's a Hollywood superstar, a legend, a famed success story who's worked with such greats as Dorothy L'Amour, Ronald Reagan, and, of course, Tarzan and Jane. But despite that million-dollar grin and that list of credits a mile long, this seasoned veteran gets no respect.
I detect there's some mocking going on, Kevin, in your voice. He is the most famous chimp that ever lived.
Yes. Yeah. But these people aren't serious, right? I mean, no one's serious about this.
But he's a chimp. He'll never know the difference. That's
Find out, because we asked producer Alex to line up somebody to talk about Get Cheetah the Chimp, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and we have them on the phone right now. Good morning.
Good morning. Who's this?
Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
Hey, how you fellas doing?
Good. Are you the guy that's behind trying to get this chimp a star on the Walk of Fame?
Behind the chimp? I am the chimp. This is Cheetah. What? You're talking to Cheetah.
You speak English?
Do I ever? Well, you know, mostly I speak English. Sometimes I speak chimp. blah, 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 blah.
Forgive us.
That's what you kids like to hear.
Well, that's what we usually hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're hearing now, then. Look at me. I'm a funny monkey.
But we're just a little bit surprised because we knew that you had a long film history, but yes. We've never heard you speak before. We didn't know you could actually speak English.
Well, I never had reason to before.
That's the first time you've spoken?
Yeah.
All right.
Because usually they just bring me the food and I eat it and I go to bed and I take a nice plot.
Right.
But now with this star thing, they're not giving me the star. I figured I got to speak up for myself. If I don't talk for myself, who's going to speak for me? There's advocates.
That's true. Yeah. If you were gay, maybe you'd have somebody out there pounding the pavement for you.
Hey, I don't swing that way, all right?
Oh, okay.
That was Tarzan's deal.
Oh, interesting.
He would hump anything with a pulse. He would take a boa constrictor in the hinder.
Really?
Anything for a thrill, that freak.
Who knew?
Freak. I'm glad he's dead.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's bitter.
They're all dead, by the way. All of them.
Yeah.
They are.
Everyone you worked
with is dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
still alive, still kicking, at 76, booby.
I didn't know chimpanzees lived to 76 years old.
They usually don't, but I do.
All right.
You know why?
No.
Exercise, always. Always with the exercise.
Exercise, okay.
Okay.
That, and lots of martinis and cigars.
You do?
And you stoop the young girls. That's what keeps you young.
Oh, really?
The young punani. Makes you something worth living for.
Okay.
Banged them all.
Okay.
I bet you did.
When I was in Hollywood, there wasn't a girl that was safe.
Wait, a girl? Are you talking about a girl?
Yeah.
I thought you meant chimpanzees.
No, I did Lassie. I did that orangutan from Any Which Way But Loose.
Oh, no.
Courtney Love.
Come on.
I did all the animals.
Speaking of Lassie, Cheetah, yeah. I have to ask. It's not like they haven't given stars on the Walk of Fame to animal actors. Lassie has a star. Rin Tin Tin. Even freaking Godzilla has a star. What do you think the problem is? Why are they not giving you one?
And Godzilla, by the way, not a real animal. I don't know if you know
not
this
real.
Or not. No.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's some Asian dude in a suit. And if they give Asian stars, they'll give anybody a star. Come on, it's unforgivable. But I'm but I kid. I kid because I love. But seriously, I think it's time for the old chimp here. Look, I ain't got much longer.
Right.
76 already, everybody's surprised.
That is pretty old, of course.
So
yeah.
Let's do the right thing and give me a star. And a little ceremony, and, send some more chicks to the back room, and let me see what I can still get the old vine swinging, you know what I'm saying? See if I can still peel the old banana.
I'm afraid I do.
As Jane Goodall used to call it.
Right, sure.
We understand.
When
wow, rare.
Her in the jungle.
A rare Jane Goodall reference on the Kevin and Bean Show in 2008.
She has a lot to do with monkeys.
You should understand that.
She did a lot of research. Not a lot of famous monkey researchers.
It's true.
No.
It's a pretty short list.
Is there someone else I should have named?
I was impressed with it. I just was surprised.
Dan Fossey, how about that? Stick that in your nose. You goddamn anti-Semitic son of a bitch.
Nothing. What are you talking about?
You don't want to give me a star because I'm a Jew.
What?
No, you're not a Jew. You're a monkey.
Whatever
you're not a Jew.
Monkey, you don't want to give a star because me because I'm a Jew.
You can't
That's
be a Jewish
ridiculous.
Chimpanzee.
I can't?
No.
Oh, what? Sammy Davis Jr. was the only one who could convert?
Oh, come on, Cheetah.
I converted in 1957 before it was popular.
All right.
Don't tell me.
Well, Cheetah, I got to be honest. Before we called, I didn't care if you got a star. Now I'm right there behind you. I want to see it happen for you.
I liked you more before we spoke.
Yeah.
If you were here right now, I'd throw my poop at you.
That's usually the way it works.
That's the way it is with my kind.
Okay, Cheetah. Thank you very much.
The chimpanzees, not the Jews.
Right. Right. We got that.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Tila Tequila wants us to know.
Ugly.
We have her to thank for the fact that Californians can now get married if they're gay. Tila is claiming that her show, A Shot at Love, broke down boundaries, brought people together, and squashed all the prejudices about gay people around the whole West Coast.
The show where she pretends to be bisexual?
That's right.
Okay.
It's because of me, she says. Yes, go ahead, Bean.
I'm confused, and I know Tila thinks people like her, but I'm confused because didn't it take years of wrangling in the courts for it to get to a Supreme Court decision long before anyone ever even knew who Tila Tequila is, the process began?
No.
If you don't know, don't speak, Bean.
Yeah, if you haven't done the research, then please pipe down.
I apologize.
It is because of me, she said. I definitely think my show has helped the movement. Before it came out, everyone was still a little apprehensive about same-sex relationships. Then they realized, wow, everyone is really into this stuff, and it's fine. The next thing you know, gay marriage is legal.
Come on, you can't be serious. She's an Oriental, for Christ's sake.
Oh, please.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah. Seriously.
See, she saved us all.
That's absurd. She has to know that's absurd. She that delusional?
She has to.
She has to know that's stupid.
It's a joke, right? She's telling a joke. She's making it funny.
No.
She's having a laugh.
All right now.
Nope. God bless you, Tila. Dr. Drew has stepped up and apologized to Tom Cruise for his comments in Playboy magazine. And I think Drew is a sweetheart for doing it, but I completely think that he was in the right and this Burt Fields, Tom's lawyer, was in the wrong.
I do,
absolutely.
Too.
If you don't know the story, Drew Pinsky was interviewed by Playboy magazine, and he talked about celebrities and their odd behavior, and he mentioned that Tom Cruise could be seen as suffering from mental illness. He said that someone who was drawn to the cultish atmosphere of Scientology, that was largely due to a deep emptiness and childhood neglect and perhaps abuse, but definitely neglect. That's what causes people to be drawn to those types of situations.
Right.
And Burt Fields, Tom's lawyer, went ballistic saying that Dr. Drew was, and I quote, an unqualified television performer who was looking for notoriety.
Absurd.
Pretending to diagnose his client without ever meeting him and accuses Drew of spewing absurdity. He compared Drew to Nazi propaganda director Joseph Goebbels.
Wow.
So Drew apologized to Cruise, saying he meant no harm. He apologized if his comments were hurtful. And a spokesperson for Dr. Drew said, although Mr. Fields' intent is clearly to slander and discredit Dr. Drew, under no circumstances is Dr. Drew making a blanket diagnosis about Scientology, nor Mr. Cruise, who he does not know, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, so Drew issued an apology. But
not only is he not an unqualified television personality, I don't know a person in the world who's more qualified to speak on topics like this than Dr. Drew.
Nor is he wrong, by the way, because if you go back to 2006, Tom Cruise did a big interview with Parade Magazine talking about his abusive father, who was a bully and physically abusive towards him, and then abandoned the family. So there's your neglect and your abuse all in one handy little basket.
That was admitted by Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Okay.
So it looks like Drew pretty much is right on point.
Again. And yet apologized.
And once again, as we mentioned earlier, Tom Cruise is a guy who had no problem with diagnosing Brooke Shields, saying she didn't need medication to deal with her postpartum depression.
And
without
everyone
ever having sat down and met with her, and no one else needs it either.
Yep, that's right.
And he knows he does the research on psychiatry, so he is able to issue blanket statements about that profession. But when it's on the other shoe, is on the other foot.
Yep.
That might not fit.
That's when they have problems
or something.
With what you. I can say what I want, but you can't say what you want. That seems.
Are you mentally insane?
Yeah.
And congratulations to supermodel Adriana Lima. We find out today, thanks to People Magazine, that she is engaged.
No.
Yes, Psycho Mike. She is engaged to Minnesota Timberwolves star Marco Yannick.
No.
Yes. A release from his publicist says he asked her, and she said yes. They're both incredibly happy and couldn't be more in love.
No.
The publicist also added, Marco has a giant countdown calendar when she finally gives it up.
Sure.
Just a giant, he got a big red marker, and he just X's off the days to their marriage.
No way!
She's waiting until she gets married. Of course, famously a virgin. adrenaline. So.
No, 1,000 times no.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays, Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy.
Oh!
65 years old today.
A little late on this. You took a beat there.
Tim Allen from Home Improvement, but most importantly from the feature film Zoom.
What?
I'm sorry.
Which one is Zoom?
I don't know. I was flipping around on a cable the other day, and it's Tim Allen in Zoom.
He was in a movie called Zoom?
Yeah, where he played a retired superhero who has to come out of retirement to coach a bunch of young kid superheroes and teach them how to use their powers.
Now, you're just making stuff
up. I swear to God.
Don't remember that one ever coming out.
It was released in movie theaters.
Are you doing the asset again?
It got right past us all.
Wow.
Hi, this is Tim Allen for Kevin.
Uh-oh.
Tim Allen.
As much as we make fun of Tim Allen, have you ever seen Galaxy Quest?
Yes. Yes.
Which is a comedy about a Star Trek type cast who are all signing autographs to like these collectors, fan shows or whatever, that get kidnapped by actual aliens and they have to go into space and actually fight.
Do we all like it? So I know if I can safely say I like
this.
It was funny.
Yeah. I really liked that movie.
Test the waters.
Is it Sofia Vergara in that movie?
I don't believe so.
All right, never mind.
It was actually a pretty good movie, but you don't want to admit it because it's Tim Allen.
I know, but it's really, really good. Sigourney Weaver's also in it. Alan Rickman. It's a real good
cast.
That's right. Tony Shalhoub.
It's no Santa Claus 3, don't get us wrong, but...
I'm just saying, he's capable of doing funny work sometimes.
Home Improvement was one of
20
one time. Home Improvement was one of those shows that was on for like 15 years. None of us ever knew a single person who watched it, yet it was always one of the most popular shows in America.
It was indeed. Ally Sheedy turns 46 years old today. She, of course, famously from Breakfast Club. She was part of the Brat Pack back in the day. Rivers Cuomo of Weezer is 38. The Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen twins are 22. And Steve-O from Jackass. celebrates his 34th birthday today. How many more birthdays does Steve-O have left in him? No one knows.
A lot.
I think a lot.
Now that he's clean. Well. Clean and sober.
Well, you know, once you're clean and sober, that's it. You're done. You stay clean and sober forever. You're right. The odds of Steve-O falling off the wagon and doing some damage are slim to none.
That guy.
What would he need him for?
Hey, stop it.
We need Steve-O. He makes the world laugh. Much like Carrot Top.
And Tim Allen.
Joe Piscopo.
And who else? Who's the funniest guy in the world?
Kevin James.
And Kevin James.
Of course.
Give me a list of names of people who are funnier than Kevin James.
Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, you're right. She's funnier. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at
blah, 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 blah. Get to the part. Do the thing. Hit the button.
Ask a porn star?
Yes.
So you want to ask a porn star? Ask a porn star. Ask a porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Porn star.
Oh.
Porn star.
Oh, yeah.
In the latest in a long continuing series on the Kevin and Bean Show of Ask Us, we present the one we've been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. The beautiful Jessica Drake has joined us. The Wicked Pictures star, Jessica Drake, is in the studio of the world famous K-Rock here this morning. How are you, Jessica? Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, but I thought I was here for Ask a Chimp.
Oh. We can do that. We can take questions for that as well.
Okay.
I'm so glad you're here because your business is one that we all admire so, and I'm sure whenever people find out what it is you do for a living, they instantly have hundreds of questions for you. It's just one of those occupations that people are fascinated with, right?
Yeah, they run up to me in the grocery store. That happened to me a few days ago.
In the grocery store?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to the grocery store, not too far away from my house.
Which of these giant pickles would you prefer?
Yeah,
that kind of stuff?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Nice melons. And I mean that because we're in the fruit department.
I think they want to see what I really eat and you know, how I really am in person.
You don't have to do your own grocery shopping, though. Someone like you ought to have people that do that, right?
No, I do my own grocery shopping. Oh. I do my own laundry. I clean my own house. I mean,
that's outrageous. when I'm running things, it's not going to be like that. I'll tell you that. It's going to be different. All right. Well, let's get this out of the way first, because I know when people start calling it 1-800-520-1067, I know that a lot of people are going to be wanting to know this. Let's get all of the early abuse and daddy issues out of the way, okay? Let's go ahead and start with that so we get a clean slate, then we can move on to the fun stuff. You were touched by who? And at what age?
Nobody. I'm not damaged. I'm here because I want to be. I'm really happy with my job, and I think I'm very fortunate.
Do you think that's one of the biggest misconceptions is that people look at and say, must be damaged goods. There's no other way.
Absolutely. I think that there's that, and also that all adult stars are on drugs. Like, I'm super focused. You know, I'm in it because I love it, but I have a plan, too. You know,
does that plan include drugs?
No.
No? Okay. Just checking. All right.
No. Although I do like a good martini. But, you know.
Now, when you talk about a plan, especially these days, you can look at someone like Jenna Jameson, who, I mean, really just broke the mold in terms of what an adult film star was able to accomplish in terms of owning her own stuff, in terms of brand expansion and books and movies and everything else. I mean, do a lot of the girls now especially look at her and go, that's the direction I want to hit?
I think that she's definitely someone that a lot of girls have aspired to be or maybe take over. But I think that there was only one, you
right.
know, I think that there was a place and a time. And, you know, she started with us with Wicked Pictures. Mm-hmm. And I think that stuff like that maybe only happens once. I'm more interested in carving out my own spot in the industry.
But is that the business model that it seems to be heading toward?
I don't know. I think a lot of girls get into it for different reasons and have different plans.
Because they were touched in drugs?
Yeah, yeah. You know, they were touched on drugs or they want to touch drugs. Right? But I just started writing and directing for Wicked, and I find the more I have to do with a movie, the happier I am with it in
writing
the long run.
And directing your own or other people's as well?
Well, it started writing other people's movies about, I'd say, 2 or 3 years ago. And then that just turned into being so specific when I was writing mm-hmm. that I would say, oh, I'd really like to be in that part myself. And that mm-hmm. that lent itself to me deciding to direct it.
How many movies have you made, Jessica?
Wow. In my whole entire career, I yes. would say mm-hmm. about 250.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
250.
Thank you.
And that's in how many years? Because, frankly, you don't look a day over 21.
Oh, I love you. Actually, that's in about a little over 7 years.
Yeah. 7 years, 250.
Yeah. Wow. I was a busy girl. I was a very busy girl.
Yeah, it sounds like
Take us through the thought process. And again, Jessica Drake is here, and we are going to be going to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can go to jessicadrake.com, by the way, and there's a special offer there for K-Rock listeners, jessicadrake.com/K-Rock, if you want to find out what she has for you this morning. You should check that out. Take us through the thought process of you're in high school, and you're starting to look toward the future, and you're starting to think about what I want to do for a living. What were the things that you were planning on before you came up with the porn star idea, and then how did you make the choice that you did?
Well, for one, I thought I wanted to be a forensic scientist.
A forensic scientist?
I really did. I entertained that thought for a long time. That gave way to psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely interested in that. I went to school for 3 years as a psych major.
Really?
And at the same time, I was dancing to help pay my way. It's very cliche, I know, but I was stripping my way through college. And I saw feature dancers come through the clubs that I was working in, and I looked at these girls on stage doing these big burlesque theatrical shows, and I thought, oh, I can do that. I can do that better than they are doing it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give it a try. Movies didn't really cross my mind at that point. I met some people from an agency that books features,
mm-hmm.
and I told them what I wanted to do. They sent me somewhere to meet people so they could see me in person,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, sometimes girls don't look like their pictures.
Right.
You think? Just
yeah,
sometimes, though.
Sometimes. but I pride myself on looking like my pictures. So I met these people, and they introduced me to some other people that were kind of in the adult industry, maybe on the outskirts, like photographers. I came to L.A. for a little while from Texas. I'm from San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And I just met people from the industry. I didn't
And you just kind of
right
gradually
in.
Got closer and closer to that business, and
yeah,
eventually
and
it seemed like a good idea to do.
Well, and I think it crossed my mind that was the next logical step. I mean, if I
right
was doing adult magazines and I was feature dancing, I was really interested in doing movies. I had done softcore movies, HBO, Cinemax, Showtime. I'd done a little Playboy TV. And I was just really comfortable. It's a lot different, the business. It's a lot different than people might think it is. And I met people, and they were so great and such a close family when you get in the right circle. And I definitely think I have with Wicked.
And your first movie was Indiana Bones? Was that the first one? Or was it Vulvapalooza? I'm unclear on what your first movie was.
Vulvapalooza Part 5.
Or Pump Friction. I'm not sure.
You probably get... Oh, look at the time already. We're going to have to take a break and come back with your calls. But you probably... a lot of times, I'm sure girls ask you, hey, how do I get into the business? Can I get into the business? We will talk about that when we come back. But is it something you recommend to other people?
I do recommend it to other people with the understanding that it is a serious decision that girls can make. I mean, it's a serious decision for guys as well. Your movies will definitely come out. I mean, your picture is going to be on the internet. People are going to see this.
Are people still naive enough to think that they could do it and kind of do it under the radar? No.
Absolutely. I get approached by girls all the time telling me, yeah, I just want to get in and make a couple of movies and then get out really quickly. Yeah, no, I'm so sorry. It doesn't work that way.
Have you heard of the internet?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, all right. Well, this is fantastic. We have Ask a Porn Star. Jessica Drake is here. We're going to take your phone calls. Of course, the lines are already jammed. And we'll take a quick break and come right back. All right, you know how that ends. Okay.
Oh,
let's get to it. Get to it.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Shut up, Lisa.
World famous.
Well, they know how it ends. It goes, you don't need that. I'm saying you can get the CD. All right.
Look, Jessica is not going to live forever. We want to talk to her every single minute while she's alive, okay?
Exactly.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Jessica Drake, Wicked Film Star, is our guest for Ask a Porn Star. Please go to jessicadrake.com and then /K-Rock, by the way, for a special offer for Kevin and Bean listeners here this morning.
All right, 1-800.
Yes.
We appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. It's time to Ask a Porn Star.
All right. Were you looking for the intro there?
I think you
were.
Yeah,
we got to play the thing there, right?
I love that.
I was ready to go right to the calls. I didn't realize you wanted this again.
So you want to ask a porn star? Ask a porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Ask a porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Porn star.
Oh,
porn star.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good call.
I want that for my website.
You can have it.
You can have it as your ringtone if you want. Let's try line one. Ty is calling us from Calabasas. Calabasas, by the way, is what they would call it in the porn industry.
Nice.
But Ty, go ahead. You're on with Jessica.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
All right. My question is...
Yeah, I don't think we can... I don't think we can be quite that specific.
Oh, my goodness.
Ty has a question about the way some porn movies end, and he wants to know what, Ty?
He wants to know if they have... I'm going to ask it for him because I don't trust him. For example, the decorator. He's got to have a lot of supplements of some kind.
I was going to say, supplements. I would go with supplements.
Some kind.
Supplements, and I think it's practice. I think a lot of it has to do with muscle control. Yeah. Well, hey, I do it all the time.
Who knew?
I think it has a lot to do with muscle control, too.
Wow. These people.
They do.
There's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes that we didn't know about.
Definitely.
The real world, though, nobody shoots for that as a goal, right? There's no reason in your regular life to take those supplements to have that ending, right?
I'm really afraid to go into this question in detail.
In real life, girls are not really looking to be shot across a room, if that's what you're asking.
I don't know. Maybe I was just an oddball before I ever got into the business, but it was definitely interesting to me.
Let's move on.
You're an oddball.
I'm an oddball.
Let's try line three. Krista is calling with another question I'm sure you frequently get asked, Jessica. Krista in Beverly Hills. Go ahead. Ask a porn star.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I'm just wondering, is it hard for you to be in a relationship having this kind of career?
You know what? I've actually been in two major relationships. I make for a really bad dater. Like, I don't date very well.
You don't like it?
I prefer long-term. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just happens that way. I make a very good long-term partner. All the cooking and cleaning and stuff.
Does your job make it more difficult than most people?
You know, it doesn't right now. It has in my other relationship. It did affect it a little bit, but both relationships were with someone in the industry. In the interim, I did try to date civilians for a short time. At first, they were like, wow, that's so cool. Oh, my God, I'm dating Jessica Drake. And then a couple months into it, they were like, well, why do you have to do that? And why are you always out of town? And, really? I mean, you know.
And then they start complaining?
It can, but I think that honesty and trust is the basis of a good relationship, no matter what you do for a living.
Do you lose any kind of interest in regular sex at home once you've gone off and you've done that for a living?
After a long day at work?
It's totally different, though. A lot of the time after a long day of work, I do like to go home and be intimate and my way, as opposed to having to pay attention to where the cameras are and how many things I'm doing.
Right.
You know, it's just a kind of... It's cool.
You're the
for
perfect
me
woman
to go. Thank you.
Turns out.
Thanks. Thank you.
What's the story, if there is one, of this picture on your website of you with Mike Tyson?
Oh my goodness. I have a lot of pictures of celebrities on my website. I was at LAX, the nightclub in
Vegas
this past January, and I ended up at Noir, which is the special nightclub underneath LAX that not everybody can get into. And I don't know, I was just hanging out with Mike about 5 o'clock in the morning, having a good time. And people asked me, were you scared? It didn't even dawn on me that maybe I should have been a little apprehensive. But no, he was really cool.
Is it true that you and Mike Tyson did the brown necktie?
Oh!
Is that a true rumor? I refuse to answer the question on the...
All right, just checking. That's his specialty.
All right, let's go to line...
Do you want to check my ears? I have both my ears, though. That's cool, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to line six. Bill is on the line calling from Los Angeles. It's the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. We're talking to Jessica Drake. It's Ask a Porn Star, which may be the best Friday idea we've ever had. I see this as being a regular feature every Friday, by the way.
Nice. Hi, Bill.
Bill, go ahead.
Morning, Kevin Bean, Jessica, hi, Lisa May.
Hello. Hi.
What I was curious about is how much of the apparent enjoyment on camera might be legitimate or real for you.
That's a really good question. I can't speak for other performers, so I'm glad that you asked me specifically. I make it my goal in every scene that I do to be very happy. Whether or not that means I am very happy as the cameras are rolling or as they're calling cut, or it doesn't matter. I am into my scenes. I have a really short list of people that I work with. I think it's all about chemistry. I think that that is what makes me a very strong sex performer. You know, I really do. So every scene I do.
But
I,
you
I
are.
Try.
There is an element of, I mean, you are an actress also, right?
I am in there somehow. I am an actress, and that's where it comes in really helpful when it's in the middle of the night. I'm out in Malibu on a rock by the ocean under a rain machine.
Right. Sure.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I've worked all day. That's when the acting comes in. But that being said, I take something away from that scene. Still, you know, I do something that's really going to turn me on, and the partners that I work with, they know what those little things are. You know, they know what I like.
They'd like to know what that is. Yeah. Can you tell?
I can say that I prefer, you know what? It's on my website in great
well
detail, because I really don't want to offend anybody right now.
Do you enjoy the Pasadena mudslide?
Oh, Kevin.
Yes or no?
All right. Thank you for the call, Bill.
First.
Let me ask one more quick question, then we're going to take another break. If you have the time, we'd love to ask you to stick around for one more segment of calls because we have so many great
show.
Or the rest of the show. I would love to.
But let me ask you one more question before the break, and that is, I won't ask you to speak for your experience, but in general, what kind of income can a girl who's doing okay in the porn industry make versus the income that a guy can make in the course of a year, say?
I think women can make a lot more money. I have
sure.
money coming in through a lot of different places. We have adult toy lines. I go on the road, feature dance. I have my website.
Obviously most people aren't doing
more.
What you're doing, but
thank God there's an industry where girls can make
girls
more.
Girls definitely
a lot, right?
But I mean
a lot more.
Yeah.
If a young woman listening and she wants to get into porn and she works it and she's a smart businesswoman like you are, I mean, she can make is it fairly common to make a six-figure income doing
definitely.
This? All right. How about for guys? What can a guy make if he does his best?
Like $100 a week.
The guys have to pay. To work. No, not really. Guys, see, it's kind of a tricky thing. Guys can potentially work every day or every other day if they're really strong performers and good mm-hmm. actors, and they show up on time. You know, they're well behaved.
Right.
But a guy can shoot for longer.
Are you talking about filming?
Filming?
You're talking about filming.
Are we going back to the supplements?
No,
shooting for longer?
Not.
Filming.
I mean that a guy has a longer shelf life.
Yes.
Oh, right.
A guy can come in super young.
Right.
And then he can still
freaking
be
Jeremy's still making movies, for God's sake.
I wasn't going to name any names there.
Come on.
But also don't have to look as good as the women.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
Does it help if the woman is early in her career willing to do the Puerto Rican fog bank?
Oh,
would you say that?
I think
increases the money or decreases?
I think it's nice to hold out to the very end. You know, because you want to kind
for the
of
fog
pace
bank.
Yourself. You just can't do everything.
You
got to right
tuck
the
fog bank in your back pocket and just wait.
I'm ready to whip mine out.
All right, we'll take a break.
I think it's a good time, Jessica. We're deeply in love with you. I'm telling you now. You may never get out of the studio alive.
Good.
But more of your calls for Ask a Porn Star on the World Famous K-Rock when we return.
All right. Dear God.
Here you go again.
How long does that guy have to keep singing, for God's sake?
So you want to ask a porn star? Ask a porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Ask a porn star.
Oh, yeah.
Porn star.
Oh.
Porn star.
Oh, yeah.
The beautiful Jessica Drake in our studio, jessicadrake.com and wickedpictures.com/Jessica Drake. Speaking of the dancing, speaking of the stripping to get your way through college, you probably danced to some Guns N' Roses. What's your favorite song of all time to strip to, Jessica?
Wow, you know what? I don't think I've ever actually been asked that question before. That's
has to be a song that you think really is super sexy that like really turns you on. Like a lot of girls we know, they say, you know, Closer by Nine Inch Nails. I mean, there are some songs that are just made for strip clubs. You don't have one that comes to mind?
Wow. I do so many different shows. I would say that I probably have a favorite song for each show. I mean, it's my routines are so diverse.
Can I guess?
I do a Wicked cheerleader show and a biker show, an angel show, a Moulin Rouge show.
Wow, wow. Yeah. Can I guess?
Sure. His
Nobody's
not stirping to Bjork.
Not Bjork? Okay.
Bjork.
All right. Let's take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with whiny Mark down on Line 8 in Newport. Let's hear what his bitchy complaint is when we have Jessica here and he's trying to spoil a beautiful day on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, whiny Mark.
Hey, Jessica, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know, I have a question. How come there are no Asian guys in porn?
Tiny.
You know what, actually...
I'm sorry, I'll let you answer.
Well, I don't exactly believe that myth. I think that there are some very gifted, shall we say, Asian guys out there. And as a matter of fact, we're actually casting at Wicked for Asian guys that we want to use in one of our bigger movies that we're going to have like a lot of stunts in. So if you are an Asian male and you have...
You're going to be doing like karate and kung fu?
No, you're going to be doing like the Lithuanian typewriter. That kind of stuff. Why, are you trying to get into it, Mark?
No, I'm just curious. No, there's no way I'd be able to ever get into that.
Is that something that you'd like to see in an adult movie?
No, just out of curiosity.
Oh.
Just never, never saw any.
Because they're all computer programmers. That's why, Mark.
Too smart.
It's so obvious.
I'm not a computer programmer.
They're all too smart.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
So they do casting calls basically online if people want to get into the movies. Wicked is always looking for new people, right?
We really do, and I'm always actively looking for people with just talent that aren't afraid to be on camera. I've found people online through my website that are musically talented. I've found rappers. I've found musicians. I've found people with special talents. We can always utilize them in our movies. So it just so happens. No, carry on with yourself.
<I'm sorry>.
wow. No, now you have to share. Can you share with the rest of us?
No, we can.
Come on, you guys. Yeah, act it out.
Mike wants me to say a name that I can't probably say.
Oh, yeah, he's bad.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's go back to the phones. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be interrupted.
Let's try Shannon in Glendale. It's just they're like little kids who are so distracted by the pretty girl that they're just like laughing and talking to each other.
Blushing right now, so they were just.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. It's not about me.
Shannon, ask a porn star. You're on with the beautiful Jessica Drake. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Ben. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Shannon.
Is this my Shannon?
Yes.
Hi, Shannon.
Why is she your
Shannon? Why is she your Shannon?
She's my Shannon. Oh, we know each other.
Oh.
Yeah. We know each other.
Yeah.
What's up?
just
wanted to hear.
All right. We can't hear Shannon's question, Kevin. Let's let her talk. Go ahead. All right, Shannon, go ahead.
Yeah, who your favorite girl to work with right now is?
Wow, right now. Well, you mean other than you?
Other than me.
I'm really crushing on Jada Fire and Dana D'Armond. I just worked with Dana not very long ago. I just worked with Jada too, for that matter. But as far as other girls, all of the Wicked girls, I love Stormy. I love Julia Ann. Our new girls, Electra Blue and Michaela Mendez.
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of those two girls. Yeah.
Have you done the shop back with any of them?
You know what? As a matter of fact, I have. I was doing the shop back the other night with Jada Fire at the Urban Spice Awards.
That's what I thought.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon.
You're very lucky. Jessica, what about, is there a mom and a dad somewhere in Texas crying every night into their pillows as they go to sleep thinking about their poor little girl gone wayward in Hollywood?
Actually, I lost my dad 3 years ago.
Oh, nice question, Bean.
No, it's cool. I'm okay with it. He did know what I did for a living.
Okay.
He asked me a couple of very embarrassed yet direct questions, and he was delighted to know that that Wicked is condom only, and that made him, you know, really comfortable. I mean, obviously, it wasn't his first choice for my occupation, but
right.
He was really happy that I could take care of myself and that I had found something that made me so happy. And, you know, I help out taking care of my little brother now. I have a house in Texas, and, you know, I kind of...
Oh, that's great.
Did he make sure that you never did the Compton car wash? Did he ask you about that?
He warned me about the Compton car wash.
Yeah, you don't want to do
and
that.
He said something about you, too, that I don't want to repeat that.
Well, clearly, we could have gone all day, but we are out of time.
What's the next big
Wicked picture from Jessica Drake that we should be looking for?
Well, look for What Girls Like. It's the first movie that I directed. I also wrote and starred in it.
Stop it.
What?
Lisa. Lisa.
Nice.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, I heard it. I heard you say it.
And also, my big movie of the year is called Fallen, and you can see the trailer right now for Fallen at wickedpictures.com. And yeah, it's going to be really hot. It's out in August. There are 11 scenes in Fallen. I am in 8 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
busy
so,
girl. Okay.
Keep a look at my MySpace. It's myspace.com/therealJessicaDrake.
Okay.
Jessica Drake. Are there fakes? Are there imposters out there?
There are really? Fakes. But most importantly, I made a special webpage for you guys at jessicadrake.com/krock, and everybody that goes there is going to get a special today.
And the special is the San Antonio Sloppy Joe.
How did you know? Stop it. You're so in my head. You're so in my head.
Jessica.
Can I come back, you guys?
Yes. Yes.
I would love to.
Tomorrow. Monday.
You are doing traffic on the Kevin and Bean Show starting right now.
You can have my job. It doesn't matter. I'm just distracting anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica.
Hungry? Head to Ralph's for a can of Blue Diamond Smokehouse Almonds and check out the in-store specials Ralph's has to offer. Stop by Ralph's today. Have you had your can a week? I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Speaking of Ralph's can, it's time for the showbiz beat.
Hey, what the? It's up to the jury now. Closing arguments took place yesterday in the R. Kelly child porn case.
Finally.
Yes.
Only took 6 years.
It was relatively a short trial, considering they put it off for 6 years.
Yeah, well, you know, the prosecuting argument mainly was just, hey, look at it's him! Yeah.
Look at that video.
Look at the video! Thank you, Your Honor. That's pretty much all they said.
Do you see the guy in the video peeing on the girl in this courtroom? You do? That's him.
And then look at the guy in that video.
Yeah.
Look what he's doing!
Yeah.
Why are we here, Your Honor? That's the guy kept asking. Just put him in jail! Prosecution took the jury through the tape once again yesterday and pointed out each time a crime was committed. There and there. Okay, there. Twice there. Two crimes there. Crime against nature there. And they asked the jury to find him guilty on all 14 counts. Prosecution also addressed the fact that Kelly's goddaughter refused to testify in the case.
By the way, that's a side note. It was his goddaughter.
Yeah.
Just
he's quite a prize.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
They said they chose not to traumatize her again by forcing her to testify, so they called nearly a dozen relatives, friends, and former coaches and teachers to identify her.
And he couldn't pay all of them off, allegedly?
The defense asked, why didn't they just bring her in? She's just down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were debating throughout the trial whether he'd be found innocent or guilty, but I guess more likely is he'll probably get convicted on a couple things and get pardon the pun, get off on some of the other stuff, right? I mean, it could be a mixed verdict.
It's so funny, the defense said, if that's actually her in there, how come none of these relatives went over and beat the crap out of him?
Well, that's a good question.
Any solid man or woman would have gone over and broken his legs. They would have beat the crap out of him. That's real. That's practical. That's family, Your Honor. That's
trying to put doubt in the jury's mind. That's what that is.
That's what that is.
Deliberations. That's a dude in his band, by the way, as the father, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great.
That's a paycheck. That's what that is. Jury begins deliberations and will continue through today. If he gets convicted, he could do 15 years if he gets convicted on all the charges.
I think he should. I think he should do 15 years.
Okay, Bean has ruled. I concur.
Maybe get trapped in the exercise yard would be his series. Be very entertaining.
No one ever talks about when he married 15-year-old Aaliyah before he had her killed, by the way. No one even brings that up anymore.
Allegedly killed.
I don't think he had her killed.
Well, whatever. That's your spin.
He did marry the 15-year-old. That's true.
That's true. Nora, interesting casting news coming out today from The Hollywood Reporter. They say that John Voight will be joining the cast of 24 for its 7th season.
Oh, wow.
John Voight will play the villain of the season who's behind the next terrorist threat. So, big-time actor John Voight joining the cast.
Very cool.
More casting news. Amanda Peet has joined the cast of the disaster film 2012. Hollywood Reporter says she'll play John Cusack's ex-wife. He's in the film along with Thandie Newton, Danny Glover, and Oliver Platt. It's a movie about global catechism.
Yeah, good times.
About global catechism. No, catechism. They all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they all become Catholics.
They all go to school?
It's all very strange.
The church just takes over.
Not very fun. Yeah. Sounds kind of dull.
Exactly. Here's a communion wafer. Just eat it. That's 2 hours of that.
That's what she said.
And the new movie, The Incredible Hulk, opens up today.
Did you hear they're making a porn movie already? Did you hear they already have one in production?
What is it, Bean?
Mike, I'll let you have it.
Oh, now it's too big a build-up.
The Incredible Bulk.
All right.
Come on.
Back to you.
Seriously?
Well, I didn't know he was going to do the big
That was the
in.
Setup for that?
Too big a setup, right? Sorry. Lesser setup, throw it out.
I don't think the setup was the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe too little punchline.
We'll edit it before we get on the air.
All right.
I didn't want Mike to feel I was trying to steal his line, so that's why I wanted to let him deliver it.
I steal them all the time. Don't feel bad.
If that was mine, I'd be saying, steal it. Go ahead. Take it.
Please. People think you came up with it.
That's right. Liv Tyler stars in the film as Bruce Banner's girlfriend. And apparently, while on the set, she developed a new nickname given to her by the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Action Pants, they call her.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
Action Pants. Exactly.
Action Pants. Pants. Apparently, while she was filming, they kept putting her in really tight pants to show off her body. And through many of the action scenes, she would split the pants and her ass would come out.
She probably kept telling, these are a little tight.
Yeah. No, they're fine. They're fine.
Put them on.
Yeah. Go, Action Pants.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
So she said that was her nickname.
On That's
show.
Funny.
So good for you, Action Pants. Sounds like something in my new clothing line. New Action Pants.
It sounds like one of those names that's translated badly into, you know, like from Chinese right. or something. You know?
Sassoon jeans in Korea are known as Action Pants.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Siegfried of Siegfried and Roy is 69 years old today. He's been waiting his whole life for it to be 69. You guys all right over there? Anything
because
going on?
No, we're here. Too? We're right with you.
Do you ever talk to anyone who's in the room other than each other?
We're
with
right with you.
Conversations.
We're working hard behind the scenes, Ralph.
They have turned into Mary-Kate and Olsen, who have their own little twin language really? That no one else is allowed to be part of.
They giggle and they push each other. Yes. Slap fights going on. You two are like just a new couple in love.
We are trying just to help. That's what we do.
Oh.
And you guys repay us by kicking us in the teeth.
Yeah. Well, we've seen your help. That's why.
All that talk results in the Incredible Bulk. That's all we've seen.
We felt the pain of your help. Hey, that's why we're against it.
I didn't force the bulk in.
Tim! Oh! That's what we said. First time you've ever said that. Didn't force the bulk in.
All right.
Tim Allen of Home Improvement and many bad comedies.
Hi, this is Tim Allen for Kevin.
Is 55 years old today. Rivers Cuomo of the band Weezer. Ah!
Yes.
He's 38. Jack.
Ralph, I apologize. I owe you an apology here. You said earlier that he was the former governor of New York as well. And
right,
I
said no.
I scoffed you. I checked it on the internet. You're right. It is the
Thank
same
you.
Guy.
Thank
he
you.
Was the, he was the same dude.
Singer, guitarist for Weezer and governor of New York.
That's true.
Steve-O from Jackass is 34 years old.
Yeah, dude.
And speaking of our very own Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen over there, Kevin and Psycho Mike.
We are not your very own Mary-Kate.
The Olsen twins turned 22 years old today. Remember we were counting down, waiting for them to turn 18?
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like such a big deal
not
now.
Not so much anymore.
No,
yeah,
not
don't really
care
Don't
anymore.
Want them now.
I don't like their freaky little gelfling eyes in every red carpet they're on.
I have gelfling eyes.
They do. They look like little woodland creatures. They just look into the camera like a bush baby you caught in a tree or something by accident. You're out in the backyard with your flashlight one night and you see a family of possums hanging off your palm tree. That's what they look like every time someone takes a picture of them. Like, they're startled and surprised. They're afraid to move. They just freak me out.
And they're always holding each other and stroking each other's hair. And
they're
it's
like
just,
little marmosets or something.
It's creepy, yeah.
They're like little woodland creatures. Little wood nymphs.
Yep.
Or that. That's another option.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky. Little
Come
boxes on.
On
the hillside.
It's an awesome song. What's your problem? Why the hate, Kevin? Why the hate for the Showtime Weeds theme song, Little Boxes?
I love the TV show Weeds maybe more than anything except for South Park. I love
you're the
Weeds.
One. You're the one who turned me on to Weeds. I give you the credit. I wasn't watching it in the first season. You're the one who got me to start watching it. Now I love it, too. But what's your problem with the theme?
If I couldn't fast forward through the theme, I would kill myself. That's
Hello! But they get artists like The Shins to cover it, and Elvis Costello did it one week. I just think it's the coolest.
Put it on a CD. I don't need to hear it at the beginning of my show. I fast forward right through it, and then it's the best show ever.
We're very excited that Weeds is finally coming back. It seems like it's been forever since the end of the last season, but it does return to Showtime on Monday night at 10 o'clock, and we're also very excited to welcome Justin Kirk onto the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, plays the lovable nine-toed Uncle Andy on Weeds. Welcome, Justin. How are you, my friend?
Very good. There's no more little boxes this year, so it's a happy day for you.
No
That's
kidding.
The best thing I've ever heard!
Yeah,
what happened, Justin?
They realized it sucked ass?
I can't agree with that, but we've moved out of Agrestic, so there are no little boxes.
Oh, that's right. Now, this season you're moving down by the border, right?
That's correct, to the fictional beach town of Renmar.
Renmar.
Now, how do you, I understand why you're moving, and for folks who, well, we should really almost back up a step and say, for folks who haven't watched the show before, it's this whole community that's very Santa Clarita-like, where everybody lives and their lives intersect, and there's some pot being sold.
Enough, shot in Santa Clarita.
Yeah, right, exactly. So at the end of last season, the beautiful Mary Louise Parker, who I love so much and one day will marry, she ends up burning her house down. So it kind of makes sense why you guys are all picking up and moving, but how do you, from a show standpoint, write something that makes sense to have everybody move down to one community, not just her and her family?
You know, it's strange how they come up with it. Well, you know, Kevin's living in his office, right? He's split from his wife, so he doesn't really have anything going on. Celia's in jail, and so they need her to help out along those lines.
Sure.
And, you know, luckily I live in the house, so I pretty much get to go wherever we go.
How about the spicy black woman? Does she come down with you?
Well, we have several spicy black women. Are you speaking of Tony Pitano, a.k.a. Halia?
Yes. Yes, I am indeed.
She is no longer with us.
Oh, she's the best.
I know. It's true. Both she and Romani, who played Conrad,
they were great.
Gave the show, you know, so much of what it was. So they're sorely missed.
Okay, so you're living in a beach town down by Mexico. Do I understand correctly in some of the stuff I've been seeing lately, Justin, that you're gonna Mary Louise Parker's character is gonna get into maybe trafficking back and forth across the border? Is that happening?
Yeah, the show pretty much centers on various border issues, be they drugs or illegal immigration, and it's a whole new deal.
Here's what I like about your character, Andy, is that your character pretty much screws everything up for them.
Well, first off, I do want you to know that even after a long day of working, I do like to go home and enjoy intimacy in my own life as well.
Well, someone's been listening.
And I only to the porn segment.
Yeah, that's
but
a good
I
segment.
Do, but no, I would. I would say that Andy is actually a stabilizing force in that home. I'd say I take care of those kids better than she has for a while.
You do.
And,
yes.
I'm the man of the house, for God's sake.
All right. All right.
It is funny, though, because as funny as the show is, and Kevin Nealon's character is one of the best, we love him so much, and we have Kevin on all the time, but your character really is the comic relief in some of the bizarre situations that you get into, like when your character spent a day on a porn set for this hilarious episode, all the stuff with you in the army. I mean, they really have, as an actor, it must be so much fun, all the crazy stuff they give you to do rather than just sitting around on the couch watching TV.
Well, they know that I'll do anything, which you can probably have tell by now. I would say that day with the lovely Jessica James and Lexington Steele and Kirsten Pratt, it might have been the height of my career.
Really? That was the best thing
ever. Not only from a lascivious point of view, but, you know, I got to do various outfits and play sort of a bunch of porn archetypes like the Mexican gardener and the UPS guy.
Right.
So
right.
I got to stretch at the same time as be in a room with all that excitement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's all good.
These pay channels like Your Weeds is on Showtime, they always need a show like this to kind of give the channel an identity and make people who don't have it go, hey, you know what? I've heard so much great stuff about Weeds. And, of course, you can get the first seasons on DVD or get them on iTunes. I've heard so much about Weeds. Now I need to get that channel. And I would have to say that Weeds is one of those shows that makes it worth getting the channel for.
I would have to say you're right.
It is. It's awesome.
That is why I got Showtime.
It
absolutely is.
Yeah, and Bean's right. You can get the former seasons on DVD, and they're fantastic.
Yeah, season 3 came out last week, I believe.
And we're so looking forward to Sunday night. Weeds season premiere is at 10 p.m. on Showtime.
Yes.
Justin, thank you so much for being on the Kevin Bean Show, man.
Thanks,
I enjoyed it.
Guys, appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
We're sorry. Your screw dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Here's the way this deal works. You call us at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air for Kevin Meads, What It Do, Nephew, and win a prize. Today it's a $50 gift card from Journeys, not the band, Ralph, the shoes. That's what you get. Give us a call right now.
When the lights go down in the city.
Oh, dear God.
Not the band.
And the last signs on the bay.
Emmanuel?
Yes.
Help us. Well, I want to be
please.
There.
All right. That's fine. Thank you. Day. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay, Ralph. Oh, all right. Okay. Oh, both of you. Come on. Yes, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
What'd it do?
What'd it do? Did you guys hear about David Spade getting a Playboy Playmate pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh,
2007.
Sure. He's got something
he
going on that none of us are aware of.
With really hot women.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. I just had a call.
Oh, okay.
Do they even make a lot of money? I mean, I don't really see them.
He's on
a TV show. He's on a current hit TV show that none of us watch. But
screw him.
No.
Yes.
Isn't that news?
Weapons of Destruction.
Is that what it's called? That doesn't sound right.
What? Are you kidding?
Okay.
No.
Well,
what
I guess
is that?
If he has a chance. Plans with a woman
of
like that, then most
restitution.
Guys...
You don't know the name of it, do you?
Something like that.
Anyway, Ralph at KRock.com if you know.
Rules of engagement.
He's on that show?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He's been very popular for a long time and apparently is good with the ladies. You know what Ralph always says, make him laugh, make him breakfast, and David Spade somehow manages to work it. So there you go.
That's wrong. All right, let's go to Matt, who is calling from Santa Monica. Whoop, this is not Matt. This is Mark in Huntington Beach. Hi.
What?
Hi, Mark.
What a do, nephew.
What a do.
Hey, I wanted to know what your guys' comments are on Milton Bradley storming out of the clubhouse after a game Wednesday night to go after one of the announcers on the opposing team.
Wow.
I am going to have to defer to someone else. I did not see the story. I apologize.
I don't know what you're talking about either.
Oh, it was all over ESPN last night. Milton Bradley, formerly of the Dodgers, which is Mike's team, went after one of the announcers because he thought he made derogatory comments. And he was within 20 feet of the guy, but the general manager and the manager had to come and stop him.
Okay, the Dave News Network just stepped in. Dave, what's your comment on that?
You're listening to DNN.
No, he's right. They were asking why. They weren't really making fun of Milton Bradley, but they were saying, why can't he do it? Like that guy Josh, whoever the Ranger.
Groban?
No.
Josh Hamilton, yeah, because I guess he had a cocaine problem or something. So they were making fun of Milton Bradley, saying, why can't he be like Josh? And he just lost it, dude. And then he started saying, oh, it's for my kids. He started crying in the locker room. Oh, you know, he said, my kids
can't
hear.
There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, and he was close, man. And you know Milton Bradley. He was a Dodger. He's the guy, same guy who threw out all those baseballs into the field and, you know, he rushes.
So he's got good control?
Yeah, this guy's
legendary hothead. Legendary
yeah, this guy's crazy. And he was so close to beating up the announcers. I wish he would have.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
And he invented the game of life.
That's not the same guy. Not the same guy.
He did that. Candyland was his.
Not the same guy.
You think a guy brought so much joy to the world with all those wonderful board games
different guy.
Wouldn't
different,
be nearly as upset as this young man seems to be.
Look, if any announcer needs to be beat up, it's the guy in the booth last night during the Lakers game who had this remark.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want Nate.
Yeah, there's no way he's serious about that. That guy has to be kidding.
I hope
he
so.
Was Jeff Van Gundy. That's the coach that does the game on ABC. Had he to be kidding.
He was talking about how great Hitch was, and even his announcer in the booth said, "Wow, you put a lot of praise on these really mediocre movies." Which, by the way, I'm sure then he regretted saying because they just had Will Smith on as a guest at the broadcast, right? Then he's like, "No, no, it wasn't that. That wasn't that bad a movie." But the guy was just over the top about freaking Kevin James. What's that deal?
I cannot tell you in a million years. If he was serious, I don't understand it at all.
What about that one movie?
That's
a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you.
I appreciate you for bringing it in the show.
Sorry, I didn't even think of that, Dave.
It's quite helpful.
All right. I think we're going to have to end it there, folks, because we're almost out of time. But I do want to thank the beautiful Jessica Drake, the former, the future Mrs. Bean, for being on the program today.
Yeah, she was taken by you.
Talk about
JessicaDrake.com and WickedPictures.com/JessicaDrake. Was she just, like, perfect, though? I mean, like, beautiful and
she's
sexy and
smart,
funny and
charming.
Fun. Yeah. Just had
you have
on.
No shot.
Yes.
Thanks to, and by the way, Lisa, it's been fun working with you, too. Jessica starts
nice
doing traffic on Monday morning.
Thanks.
Thanks to actor Justin Kirk. Of course, Showtime Weeds returns Monday night. And thanks to former sports guy Money Now with the Laker Radio Broadcast team.
That
be
guy.
Sure to look
for
him.
What do you need him for?
Oh, Doto.
Would you like a shoehorn, Kevin?
Bean doesn't slow down.
To get that piece of tape.
I'm looking at the clock. What do you need him for? You got time. Slow down. Give me a break.
You need the jaws of life to separate that clip from what Bean was saying.
I just need Bean to take a small breath every once in a while.
Yeah. All right, let's try it again.
All right, do it again.
How about our friend Matt Money Smith?
That guy. What do you need him for?
You're going to wait an hour then.
All right. All right. Again.
How about a Matt Money Smith?
Take two.
That guy. What do you need him for? All right, never mind.
What about Monday morning's all-new Kevin to Beach?
It's going to be good. Blah, blah, blah. Lakers, blah,
I
blah, blah.
It.
Game
I
five. Talk to Money. Bean's crazy. 1 in 4 people have been on TV. Theory. I'm going to prove it to you on Monday that it's true.
Do we have any big announcements on Monday?
No.
Coming up?
I wish we did.
Nothing to talk about?
Nope.
7:20.
7:20. Major concert announcement for K-Rock fans that you're not going to want
to miss. I think we are going to talk about something on Monday.
At 7:20.
That you're going to want to listen to.
Yes, that's going to happen. Okay.
It's a big one.
A big
one. It must be. That's not the one that I know about then.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
That guy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin, are you on crack?
Screw him.
Roll another one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't know. How'd they do it?
I need another hit.
Speaking of beautiful and sexy and funny and talented and lovely, how about Kat Corbett?
What do you need him for?
No. Kat Corbett is a girl, and she's next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock on the way. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That guy.
Roll another one.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You got to have drugs.
Take two.
Just like the other one.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Seems to be out.
God damn it, I love pot.
Smoking doobies. Doobie Brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brothers.
Don't bogart that joint.
I don't know. How'd they do it?
Just press it around.
That's the way I like it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on.
What did everybody think?
That stunk.
Worst episode ever.
All right, everybody. Party's over. Go home.
I really don't want to talk about it. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to comment on what happened. It sucked.
Put your clothes on and get out of here. You're going home.
So it's over? That seems unlikely.
La 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 la. Go away. I will be gone by the end of the day. Get out of my face.
Well, that was a hard one. It's only going to get harder.
That's what she said.